אסתר פרק ט. ובשנים עשר חודש הוא חודש אדר בשלושה עשר יום בו, אשר הגיע דבר המלך ודתו להיעשות. And so the day finally arrived. The 12th month, the month of Adar, the 13th day, the day that had been set aside by the poor as the day of faith and destiny, in which the original opening words of the king and his great proclamation to be ready came about. The day ביום אשר סיברו אויבי היהודים לשלוט בהם, the day in which the enemies of the Jews were hoping, were planning, were convinced that this was the day that they would finally lord it over the Jews and solve the Jewish problem once and for all. And note that it's all about Sibru. In other words, as we said, the ambiguity is so profound that it's all an expression. It left you to express your deepest hope. That was what was so ingenious about Haman. Because it's not that ambiguity leaves people in doubt. It makes people all the more sure.
Like this.
Correct? In other words, because if you tell them, it's like sometimes you don't want to tell someone that they have a gift and they should guess what it is because they'll always guess more than what it really is. See, you don't want them to be disappointed. Basher Sibru is a process of gradually growing expectations. That's what's so beautiful about it. So he can both protect the we didn't know, leave things open so that it's still left to your control, and yet at the same time, not only are you making it more difficult to carry out your plan, you're creating pent-up energies and fantasies and hopes. That's what Sibru means. These people were fantasizing about what it will mean to throttle that guy. You know, no more going into the damn Jewish bank. We'll go in there and we'll choke him to death and we'll, I enjoy it. Then hafochu, asher yishlatu ha-yehudim, hema b'soneihem. And instead, everything turned upside down. That the very ambiguity is what allowed for the Jews to be the ones who lorded it over their enemies. Nikalu ha-yehudim ba'orehem b'chol medinot ha-melech ha-chashverosh lishloach yad b'mavakshei ra'atam. And so the Jews all gathered together in their cities, which is a little strange. Why in their cities? I mean, they could gather together anywhere, all across the various states of the empire of HaMelech HaChashverosh. And note again how we are making it dependent on HaMelech HaChashverosh this time. Datei HaMelech, Devar HaMelech, HaMelech, HaMelech HaChashverosh. Because for the first time now, he is ra'ui to be called upon the gezeira that came out. Lishloach yad b'mavakshei ra'atam, to stretch forth their hand. And remember that shlichut yad is always an expression of the mechanical. We learned that out from Gan Eden. V'ata pen yishlach yado v'yikach mi'etz ha'chayim v'yochal v'yichel la'olam. The ability for the first time to actually directly connect what it is that's in that world of the Mokom Acher, of the Revach Batzalai Yamod L'Yudim, to be translated into sticking out your hand and doing what it is that you want to do, because of the power of that imagery, the power of that space and that clarity. Even though there was no particular weapon that was given them, there was no particular, all they could do was take vengeance, mi'oyveihem. But the other people could have defended themselves. I mean, it never said that you can't defend yourself. It says the Jews should be ready for this. The other people, of course, should be ready to fight for their lives. Maybe, may the best man win. Kol dol en gavar, ish lo amad lifneihem. That was the Pella. In the same way that the Nazis managed to create a space in which a couple of Nazi soldiers were able to control thousands of Jewish prisoners, which is insane. But it isn't. There's nobody to stand up. Ish lo amad lifneihem. Nobody could stand up in front of them. Because there was such a sense of, this is the way the world is. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to fight. What would be the point of fighting? You are animals. You're meant to be herded. That's one level. Ish lo amad b'fem, nobody could even stand in front of them. There's also the other girsa of ish lo amad b'fneihem, which implies that people were fighting. In other words, you were able to be mitgaber over them. I couldn't stand up against you. I couldn't stand up to them. I couldn't even stand up to them. I just ran. I gave up. I committed suicide or whatever, but I certainly didn't fight. There's two ways to stand up. Look, I couldn't stand up to him. Why not? He's a bully. Whatever. But you know, I wasn't able to stand against it. That doesn't mean I didn't stand up. It means, okay, you won. There's two girsaot here. And in fact, in many batei knesiot, you say both words. You go over the pasuk, right? Ish lo amad bifnei, ish lo amad lifnei. And that brings out very much the two elements. And that's the whole idea. It was all psychological. Kinafal pachad ayudim aleihem. And then there was the, in the coming pasuk, the fact that Mordechai, that was from the point of the Am, Galui l'chol ha'amim. So they were all worried about it. Amei ha'aretz, that's the Amei ha'aretz, that's the Galui l'chol ha'amim. What about the leadership? Remember, all of these people were not Amei ha'aretz. These were the leaders. Ah, you see. That's because Nafal pachdam ha'kol ha'amim. But how about the Chos Sarei HaMedinot? Those aren't Amin. How about the Charshtarpnim? How about the Pachot, the governors? How about the bureaucrats, the Oseam Lacha Shalamela? Well, you got to understand. They've been putting Jews into every critical position. Menasim et Ayudim. Why? Because the guy in charge of the whole country is Mordechai. So there were both areas now. There was the subtlety of the Esther approach in which people were sensing Ahasuerus's commitment to the Jews. And then you have this Pachad of Mordechai who's actually in charge. And this was, of course, this was the role that was played all along. Mordechai is open about what it is that he's doing. Esther is subtle about what it is that she's doing. And the two of them are always playing off each other. So the fact that the secret diplomatic pouches are controlled now by Mordechai and all the Jews that have been put into key positions, this is terrifying. So whether you're on the level of the guy on the street that everybody knows has a swastika in his tattoo on his back, or whether you're the guy who thought that he was going to be able to support all these anti-Semites and take the money from the bank or whatever, no matter how you looked at it, you were in big trouble. And this is Pachad. This is the Pachad of Mordechai, not the Pachad of the Jews.
On the other hand, the anti-Semites had it right as well. The Jews were controlling
exactly. The world, yeah, they had it right. Ki gadol Mordechai bebeit hamelech, v'shamo holech b'chol hamedinot, ki ha'ish Mordechai holech v'gadol. Does that sound familiar? Imizera yudhi Mordechai asher hachilot alimpo, nofol tipol, holech v'gadol. It's an ascending star. It's not that he's in. It's not that he's in a position. If he's in a position, I can handle it. We'll figure it out. But every day, it's a bigger position, a stronger position. And which, oh my God, I never thought he'd get there. What? He's taken over that too. And so this really is a pachad because he's not just a guy in a position. And because of that, vayaku ayudim b'chol oyvehem makat cherev v'hereg v'avadan vayasu b'sonehem kiratzonam. They did whatever the heck they wanted so that anything that brought out more powerfully the sense of control over the Oyev or the sense of victory or the irony of what it was that they ended up doing to their sonim, that's very much the incredible besters, you know, is that exact issue. Vyasu Kiritzonam. I don't know if you saw the movie. Did you see the movie? Isn't that what it's called?
Inglorious
Bastards. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly this Nakuda. You know, no problem. Dig a swastika right into your forehead. You know, sure, it's okay. No, but I was promised. But, you know, I'm used to not, you know, following orders exactly. It's just the sense of kiritzonam. And that was the funny part about the whole movie, was the Jewish bear who comes out with a baseball bat, who looks like a little yeshiva boy, but he's going to smash up these Nazis. And it's that complete turnabout, you know, you make this big boom, 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 like something giant is going to come out of that. There's this kid with a baseball bat. It's just beautiful. Yeah, this is exactly what happens over here. There's nobody that's really there that you couldn't fight. I mean, what is there? But there's a complete giving up. Uf Shushan Habira, Argua Yudim V'Abed, Chamesh Meot Ish, V'Yet Parshandata, V'Yet Dalfon, V'Yet Aspata, V'Yet Porat. Veit Adalia, Veit Aridata, Veit Parmashta, Veit Arisai, Veit Aridai, Veit Vaizata, Aseret Bnei Haman Ben Hamdata, Sorer HaYehudim Haragu. These 10 men, and we make a big deal of it, these weren't the all entire family of Haman, because the Gemara says that there were 30, and Asara were Nitlu, and Asara were Yistovu Al-Ptachim, and so on. What was unique about these 10 So Rashi says these 10 in the Seder Olam are identified, and did we find their names came up in Ezra? These 10 are the ones that had been involved in a lobbying effort to prevent the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Since the whole issue revolved around here, what it was that Mordechai had been sent to undo, and what they were attempting to make sure was never achieved, and the Davar HaChotzeh HaMalchut, which again and again Achashverosh wants to make certain he's not going to get caught up in, it was specifically these 10 that they murdered. U'babizat lo shalchu et yadam. But to make it absolutely clear that there was no interest whatsoever in anything but the establishment of the power of the meaning of Yisrael, rather than any type of advantage that could have been gained from this, as if there would be need of these people. On the contrary, I wouldn't touch your money. The Gemara says that the way that we say this is because they sent around policemen. Ahasuerus wanted to know, is this really pure, or is it about what they say, that the Jews are after our money? Not a thing. The same thing, by the way, that Paro did. Remember, Paro sent, as we said, Lomet Echad. Narimo Lomet Echad. Because they sent people to see if there was an opening in which they could disregard the glory of the miracle there. Over here was the same idea. I want evidence. Bring me some evidence that these guys are no different than anybody else. When it comes to bloodthirstiness, to robbery, to primitive response to anger that they have against those who call them dirty names. And that was very important that it be clear that this was a Melchemet Amalek, not a Milcham. That's exactly what Mordechai was so careful about doing with Haman. The moment that he got back after he could have lorded it over Haman, what a glorious victory. Back he was to Sakovata Anito. And that Sakovata Anito was exactly the level of living within the Makifin that we were speaking about. Living in a completely normal way, despite the fact that he himself had been the one to recognize and to proclaim that Rela Ratzalah Me'amud La'yodim Makom Acher. Vayomer, Vayomahu. And so, there were some things that the king did know about. It's not as if he was uninvolved. He had the casualty figures. You think he wouldn't have had the casualty figures if it was the other way around? And he is shocked. You know, he thought, what are these guys going to do? You know, they'll beat up a couple of kids. I mean, what are they going to do? He comes running into the room. You're not going to believe this. Look at this newspaper. It's a catastrophe. Bishushana Bira alone, Argua Yodim Babet. I mean, they completely destroyed murderers. Destruction, 500 people, including the 10 most visible members of Haman's family. Betaser B'nei Haman. Heaven only knows what went on in the rest of the country. Bishar Medinot HaMelech Ma'asu. I can't believe that. Is there anything else I can do for you, dear? Says the Gemara, this is so insane. It's such a dramatically crazy pasuk in terms of its sudden change of tonality that a malach must have came. Yeah. A malach must have came and slapped him across the face. Which again means the intrusion, once again, of a different level of response. It's the same idea, the same way that Esther needed to take into consideration the malach smacking her hand out of the way. There's such a thing as too much honesty. There's also such a thing as forgetting, getting a little bit too involved in the details. Did you forget what caused this? Did you forget the relationship, the commitment, the reality of what she brought you back to? So obviously it's not, you know, I'm moving your lips. It's that, oh yes, okay, I accept. What else should we do? What else should we do? Now, before we get on to the issue of what else should we do, which is a remarkable question, why should we do anything else? Remember, it's not just that he stopped being angry. I mean, this is insane. What else should we do? Well, who's to think that there's anything else to do? She had sat there, begged and cried, and he agreed on a only way out of getting back those letters without getting them back, redefining them. You're upset about the results, so tell her, but I guess it's worth it. I hope you're happy now, my dear. He has to go to her and say, am I missing something? I mean, does this make sense? Why? This is an incredible puzzle. It's much more than it appears on the surface. This is a complete turnabout, something that we haven't seen before. But before we go on, I just want to point out to you the famous remez over here. It's such a beautiful remez that it took all of the years, basically 2,000 years that we're talking, until the remez was understood, because nobody understood what it meant. If you take a look at the names of the children of Haman, you see very clearly that there are three three letters that are Zeira. We talked about the olive Zeira. There are Zeira letters over here. Those Zeira letters, take a look at your carefully here at a good Tanakh. What are the three letters that are Zeirot? Tav Shin Zion is 1947, which the hanging of the Nazis, the Nuremberg trial, took place. Tav Shin Zion. And as Julius Streicher was being hung, the famous, his last words were, Das ist Purimfest. The damn Jews won again. Can you imagine? And there's like no explanation for this. This is the craziest thing. This is like a Messiah from century to century. Make sure Tav Shin Zion is spelled in the hanging of the sons of Hama. Why? Ask no questions. Just do it. Beautiful, beautiful remnants. Vatomer Esther, Imam al Melech Tov, Yinaten Gamachar la Yudim, Asher Beshushan la Sot Kedat Hayom. If the king sees this as the correct thing to do, no more, by the way, v'matzatichin, that itself is remarkable. Then give us another day in Shushan. The eight aseret b'nei Haman yitlu ala eitz and hang up the aseret b'nei Haman. Vayomer amelech le'asot kein vatinaten dat b'shushan. They immediately gave out the proclamation for the next day. And aseret b'nei Haman talu immediately. That aseret b'nei Haman talu. Now, again, what is going on? Why did he ask her? Is there anything else that you need? Why did Esther ask for another day? Why is it that the rest of the parak is dedicated to an almost absurd litany about cities? That Jews that live in city X will kick in city and then city Y or city Y. I mean, let's read through the coming psukim. Vayikalu hayudim. And note that over here the yudim are spelled with an extra yud, mole, to show the darga of the Shekhinah that is among them, the simcha that's among them. They gather together, asher b'shushan, gam b'yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar, v'yahargu v'shushan shlosh meot ish, another 300 men, yipiayo. Uvabizah lo shochu et yadam, and there too, they did not take any advantage of the fighting. Ushar ha-yudim asher b'dvinot ha-melech, they were Nikaluva Moda Nafsham. The Jews in the rest of the country were Omed al Nafsham, Vinoach Mioivehem, and finally settled their scores with their enemies, Vaharog Bisoneyem, and they destroyed. So the Noach Mioivehem is that those who were just Oivim will never raise their heads, so they had no worries about them. The Sonim, who were active in murdering Jews, they killed. The Rog Besonim, 75,000 people, Hamisha Veshivim Aleph, and they too, Ubabiza, Lo Shochu Et Yadam. And that took place not on the 14th, but rather on the 13th. Biyom Shilosha Asar L'Chodesh Adar, V'Noach B'Arba Asar Bo, and so they made the 14th the day in which they were recovering, and that became a Yom Mishteh V'Simcha in the rest of the country. But the Yehudim Asher B'Shushan, they were Nikalu B'Shlosha Asar Bo U'Barba Asar Bo, V'Noach B'Chamisha Asar Bo, V'Aso Oto Yom Mishteh V'Simcha. Al Kain Hayudim Aprozim, and therefore the Jews that are in the open, Hayoshvim Bare Haprazot, that live in open cities without walls, they are Osim et Yom Arbas al Chodesh Adar, Simcha Umishtev Yom Tov, Umishloach Manot Ishlari Ehud. They make the 14th of Adar, which was the original holiday for them, they make it a Yom Tov, Simcha Mishteh, that was the first time around, and Mishloach Manot. Vayichtov Mordechai et advarim ha'ele, vayichlach svarim al kol ha'yudim asher b'chol medinot ha'melech ha'chashverosh, ha'krovim v'ha'rechokim, l'kayem aleihem. He sent around this Megillah with this information to ask them to be mekabel on themselves, to always keep these days as holidays, liyot asim et yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar, v'et yom chamisha'asar bo. Similar to the days Kayamim Asher Nachu Behem Hayudim Mioiveihem, and in the month Asher Nehapach Lehem Yagon LeSimcha Umi'evel Yom Tov, these should be Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha Umishloach Manot Ish L'Reyehu Umatanot L'Avyonim, and because of that, indeed, Kibel Ayudim et Asher Echelu. Now, if we just jump ahead a little bit, and we talk about the acceptance where we keep darshaning Yamim Ela Niskarim V'Nasim B'chol Medina V'Dina V'Yir, where we continue to learn the difference between the 15th and the 14th, and half of the Masechet Megillah is talking about what's the din of a Jew who lives in the city that is Mukaf and that instead moves. I mean, it's like this constant refrain of therefore the Jews in these cities and therefore the Jews in those cities. The whole discussion of what do we mean, the arim that are prazot, as opposed to arim that are mukafot choma, is that from the days of Achashverosh? No, we turn out to Paskinitz from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. And Shushan itself is an anomaly. It wasn't Bimot Yoshua ben Nun. But since it was the place that the days took place, therefore, what is going on? Something strange is happening. And the fact is that this strangeness is reflected in two very important other locations. One of them is Knisa La'aretz, which indeed is Merumas here, because we go back to Yemot Yoshua ben Nun, in which we have all of the list of every single city, and then the giving over of the cities from the various Shvatim to the Leviim, which become Arei Miklat, and the idea of protection for, and this is central to the entire Yerusha Zaret, you cannot be Yorish until you do this as your first step of the act of Yerusha. And then we have the concept, Bichlal, remarkably, that relates cities to Galut. Not simply because there are these 42 Arei Halaviim, in addition to the Shesh Arei Miklat, which happened to be Arei Miklat, but the concept of Galut comes from the first mention of a city. Kayin is told, Na v'na tiye ba'aretz, v'yi bone ir. So because he was detached from the earth, his response was to build a city, which was one of the big problems of cities overall. They only know of the earth in the supermarket. They don't know of the earth at all. So Galut itself is a city experience primarily. And when someone goes to Galut within Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Galut in a city. So the reference to the Bira, Shushana Bira, that already has a history here of having very special things. The Tzom was the Bira only. Leich Kenosa Kola Yudiva Nimtzeim B'Shushana Bira. That was the original Tanit that is made. It was only Lagia the Jews in Shushan. As Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pointed out to his Talmidim, the Seuda was a special Gezera for Shushan. But what about the rest of the country? How do you explain the fact that there was a Gezera of destruction on all of them? That couldn't be because they were Nene Misuda Toshiloto Rasha. So that had to go to the Inyanim of the Tzelem, the original Tzelem. We found that Rashi put both of them together, the Tzelem and the Hana'af the Suda. We came to understand that the meaning there was that there were indeed two completely different issues. The question of whether one buys into the nature of a Tzelem, which is not of a Zara, but as we saw, Tosfos explains, Rabbi Nutam explains the issue as having been the political unity of the country, and the Nene Misudato Shiloto Rasha was a sense that it would be possible to fully participate in the culture while maintaining your Judaism as a religion. So that you were basically, you were living in Borough Park, Yerushalayim Shel America, or whatever. You had all of your religious requirements, your schools, your mikvaot, your shuls, everything is there, and you are loyally identifying yourself with the values and culture of America while being an ethnic group within America with a system of beliefs. That was exactly what was happening here. And because of that, it was primarily a citified understanding. It was urban, and there's another issue of urbans, and that is exactly what I think we need to look at. There's a very special halacha about kvarim. Kvarim, not hevarim. Not graves, but kvarim. Kvarim that are around the city. Villages. So kvarim are able to read on the prior Thursday or Monday, and that is because they are supplying the city. So there's a sense of a city being a metropolitan center in which everything comes into, and which now is that which will define the way that everybody relates to what's going on. But there's also Shushan HaBira. Bira. Shushana Bira, what the king was asking here, and the reason that Esther does not say, Imala Melech Tov, V'tovani Beinav, V'imani Motzechein Beinei HaMelech, and all of the things that she said up until now, is because the king gave her an opening. The sudden turnabout, the way that the Gemara speaks of it as if a malach came and smacked him across face, is an indication of a new level of awareness. The new level of awareness was that up until now, remember, what had happened was a v'nahafahu that was defined by the need to fix the original letters. Since the letters had been sent out, and a letter that is sent out with the Tabat HaMelech ein lahashiv, the only thing that could be done was to fix it. When Ahasuerus came running into the room, he felt that they had gone beyond the need for fixing it. All that we said was that the Yehudim should be ready for this day in order la'amod al nafsham, just go around and search and destroy. So there was a reaction to this is a little bit overdone, don't you think?
What's the term they use?
Disproportionate? Liyot muchanim liyom hazeh. Okay, but come on. So this became, in their minds, as we saw, the whole thing was the way in which the context defined it for everyone, instead of the open galui l'chol ha'amim. So the galui l'chol ha'amim took more in Ahasuerus' mind than what was offered by the v'nahafahu. But that immediately led him to consider whether indeed the v'nahafahu is the solution. Because let's understand, if it would have been without the second day in Shushan, we would never have had a Purim. Why do I say that? Because the way in which we understand the V'nahafahu based on the 14th of Adar, and this is the remarkable power of the 15th, which is kept in the Arim that are Mukafot Choma, in terms of Geula, in which the Yerushalmi says, we bedavka wanted to honor Arei Eretz Yisrael, which were Charavot. We wanted to honor them with defining what we mean by a city. Remember that we spoke about two different ways of experiencing the events of Purim. The initial response, which Kabbalistically are called the circles around Mavim, in which miracles that are hidden are allowing crazy things to happen, and where it wouldn't have been necessary for Esther to go and to be Mavakesh al Nafsha v'al Ama, in which the whole idea of Livchot v'litchanen lefanav had no makom. And then we found 2 months later, there she is on her knees. But the whole business of Motzei Anichein and all of that, right? Vatef Vatitchanimla. Those were the local idea, not the overall structure of the space for the Nes. The same thing is true in what happened in the city. There are Mukafim, which are connected to Makifim in Kabbalah, and they're the Prozo. What Ahasuerus realized was at that moment, and that's why Esther says, look, if you're asking me, then I'll tell you. But it's not for me, it's for you. Imala Melech Tov. Imala Melech Tov, what we need is a positive statement, a proactive Purim, not a reactive Purim. The V'nahafahu leaves you with the recognition that the only way to save Yisrael from the original letters was to give it another pirush and to turn it around. Had there not been any original letters and a need to save Yisrael, then nothing would have happened. So this is a wonderful Hatzalah. But is it, in fact, a victory over Amalek? Does it mean that we can now look at the way in which we live as a different life because our context for living is different? Says Esther to him, if you give us another day, and only in Shushan. Why? Because Shushan is the Bira. And the difference between the Bira and a normal city is that a normal city gives a local context to things. But the Bira is the national mood. If Ahasuerus gives them another day, it has nothing to do with the letters, correct? If they hang up the 10 sons of Haman, it has nothing to do with having taken revenge on those who were out to destroy them, any more than Ahasuerus was willing to kill, than Haman was willing to kill Mordechai if he couldn't hang him up. The solution, remember, of Zeresh and his Chachamim was to hang him up and thereby make it a statement of national policy rather than something between you and him. This here means exactly the same thing. Esther says, hang up B'nai Haman as a statement of national policy. Not that they should just be killed because the Jews needed to protect themselves from their oivim. Do you want the events to merely be a way to have undone the original damage of what might have happened because of those letters? Or do you want there to be a policy of covet for Yisrael and destruction of Amalek? That is up to you. And if you're going to do this because I am seducing you, forget it. I'm not interested. It has nothing to do with my mitziyat chen at this point. It has to do with the revolution in your own thinking, which is the reason that when we conclude in the 11th parak, in the 10th parak, we conclude with the story of the revolution in Achashverosh's thinking, in which everything has changed. He's not Hamolech, he's a Melech. Beautiful, beautiful deal. That it become indeed a way of doing things rather than a responsive, a reactive way. You see what a tremendous change this was? So the shock of him saying, you know, they've overreacted. But actually, now that I think of it, why would it need to be a reaction at all? Is there anything else we should do? If you're asking, of course there is. Make the whole thing not a reaction. Beautiful. It really is. Let's do it bedafka. So we get another day. Hang up the B'nai Hamas. Give a proclamation. And that's exactly what they hang them up right away. Give out the proclamation. Therefore, we have two completely different Purims, one of which is Keneged the Makifin, in cities that are Mukafin. That's an amazing coincidence. That Kabbalistically, the two Anargas are Anargas of Makifin versus the down on the ground. Right, you're down on the ground, or you need to do something and so on. But overall, the structure of that down on the ground is defined by a much broader and more powerful reality. So it turns out that the events in Shushan were necessary in order to send out these letters, and the 2 days are fundamentally interrelated. You live in two completely different Purims when you're keeping the 14th to the 15th. It's not the same Purim, which is why we call it not only the Purim of the Mukafim, but we call it, surprisingly, Shushan Purim, where Shushan shouldn't be keeping that Purim, because it's really based on the Mukafim of Eretz Yisrael. But as we already saw, the interrelationship of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, specifically to Shushan HaBirah, is eternalized in the Shahr Shushan. The actual picture of all crazy things of the very Shushan HaBirah that was originally set up to be the alternative to HaBirah Asher Hachinotili. And now we must always remember, in entering this Birah, Sheyedu, where did you come from? We came from Shushan HaBirah. So that now redefines the very mechitzot of the Beit HaMikdash itself. It's the makifin of the Beit HaMikdash that allow us the life in Galut and the life in cities, in which ultimately we really are connected to the Geula and the cities that were Nogea, Yemei, Yoshua, Bin Nun. Without this, there would have been no remes to Eretz Yisrael. There would have been no connection to Knesset Laaretz, no connection to Yoshua Bin Nun, and instead, all of the dinner of the Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia, the list of the cities that are still Kaddish Bizman Hazeh, all of the halachas of the Shechina Lozoz, all of these things are Megillah issues. Why should they be Megillah issues? Aye, the Gemara says we don't say Halal because Adayin Avdei Achashverosh Anan. But that's the whole point. This is a completely new level of life in which the city itself becomes, as it was in a very strange way in the original Knesset Laaretz, a reference to Galut within Geula, to cities of Miklat that exist even within Eretz Yisrael, and that allows us to live in Shushan HaBirah exactly the opposite way in which we were Nichshal, Nechatchila in Shushan, to live as if Shushan is the Birah, in which it turns out now to be the Shushan HaBirah, which is the gateway to the Beit HaMikdash. So the meaning of Bechol Shana V'Shana, according to the Gemara, is addressing the question of Adar Sheni. And there's actually machlokas how to understand the Kol Shana V'Shana. Do we say Kol Shana V'Shana that it's the Adar that is somuch to Nisan, or do we say that it's the Adar that comes immediately after Shvat? But it's certainly attempting to make a comparison of the elements of Adar. And there's all kinds of inyanim, whether we learn not the inyanim of the two Adar from each other. On the simplest level, this is, as the Gemara ends up saying, nogeh the question of how Purim relates to Geula. So that we end up paskening that we use Adar Sheni because Mismach Geula, the Geula is other. We want the awareness of how it is that the days of Purim are related directly to the issues of Pesach. But if we continue on to the next pasuk, V'chol shana v'shana kayamim asher nachu behem hayehudim mi'oyveihem v'achodesh asher ne'apach lehem mi'agon l'simcha u'mi'evel l'yom tov lasot otam yemei mishte v'simcha u'mishloach manot ish l'reihu u'matanot le'evyonim. So this is all really one pasuk. Obviously, the kayam lehem liyot osim et yom arvasar, etc., etc. Kayamim asher nachu is one state. However, we have an amazing drasha on this, and that is yamim is meant to be understood as the first word is yom. Kayamim. Kayamim means these days are meant to be yamim kayamim, from which we learn out that surprisingly, instead of what it seems to be mashma in the pasuk that there are 2 days of Purim, that there are really 5 days of Purim. How are there 5 days of Purim? Nowadays we don't really have that much of an awareness of this issue, b'chalal. But as we spoke about earlier, the relationship of cities is not only the difference in the cities of the Prazim and the cities Mukafot Choma, which we saw as the development, remarkable development of what was miyuchad about Shushan and how it relates back to the Knesset of Oretz and to the concept of Golos and so on. But there's also a special halach of the relationship of the surrounding towns to the cities that are the ones that are going to have the Botei Dinim nearby. And amazingly, anybody that is living outside of the metropolitan center, because of a takona, and this is a takona of Ezra, so it relates to the actual coming into Eretz Yisrael, which is all behind the scenes of this entire Megillah, Ezra made a takona that there should be Batei Dinim that open on Mondays and Thursdays. Because of the relationship of the countryside to the city, which itself we recognize as being part of what's remarkable about the whole stress on cities, because cities oftentimes are completely unaware and disconnected from the country as a whole, setting the tones. So Gemara ends up saying that because they support the cities, therefore they were given the right to utilize the city. In what sense? That since anyway they have to come into town in order to make use of Mondays and Thursdays, they're allowed to keep Purim, in terms of the Kriyat HaMegillah, the previous Thursday or the previous Monday, whichever one is closer, the Lo Yavor, as we're going through. The Lo Yavor means you can't do it afterwards, but you can do it before it. Which means that you actually can be Magdim, the furthest possible Hagdamah would be to Magdim all the way back to the 11th of Adar. Because if, let's say, they would normally be reading on the 14th, and 3 days before is the day of the Knesa to the Batei Dinim, which is the furthest it could possibly be, then they begin reading on the 11th.
That's a Mishnah.
Yes, it's the opening Mishnah. Yeah. But it's based on this drasha, Yamim Kayamim. How do we know it? From Yamim Kayamim. But wait, the Kayamim is only 2 days. Yudalad and Tetvav. That's what you said in the previous pasuk. Liotosim et Yom Arba'asa et Yom Chabishasa. So how could you possibly get all the way back to the 11th? Because then you'll have 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And that's what the Mishnah says. Megillah Nikrate, the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. So where do we get that from? So again, a very surprising thing. Says the Gemara, well, if we're coming to be Doresh Yamim Kayamim, it can't be referring to the 13th. Because the 13th, we wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me. Why? Because since the 13th was the actual day that everybody participated together in the war effort. So therefore, for sure anybody could read on that day. Which is very, very strange. What could you read on that day? I thought it was the Yom Asher Nachu Hayudim. We said before, when we described the whole issue, we spoke about it being the time that they fought on the 13th and were nach on the 14th, or they fought on the 14th as well, and were nach on the 15th, but it was all Nogea, the Noach mi'oyveihem. So I can bring a Kal v'chomer, since it was Yom, Pi'ila Lakol, everybody came together, Mechunasim, to fight, that therefore for sure we should be able to read the Megillah on that day, and that therefore we certainly wouldn't need that drasha. Besides which, the whole idea of Yamim Kayamim is very weird. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Yamim Kayamim? This is the way to tell me that you're allowed to be Kenes before the Yom HaKnisa, the Monday and Thursday, because of Yamim Kayamim? I mean, it just happens to be that we're saying, well, it doesn't really only mean the days that they had worked on it. It was the days that were similar to those days. It's a strange drasha. Whoever heard of keeping it before, why not keep it afterwards? And this, the Gemara points out, is part of the difference between between Adar and Av, which of course is central to the whole story, because Kishem Shemishanichmas Av, Mematim Besimcha, Sotuk Mishanichmas Adar Marbim Besimcha, which of course is stressed in this passage. Vachodesh Ashene Pachlem. Was it a Chodesh? Wasn't it the days? And yet, therefore, this is the only other month which is compared to Karalai Moed in Eicha, where we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was beyachid the entire kriya of the Rosh Chodesh of the month, in order that it should be the time of Churban. So there it does relate to the month. The only other time we find it relates to the month is the six-month issue. Adar Av balance is a very strange balance in which the 2 months make up for each other, in which Av is all about the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, and Adar is all about constructing the Beit HaMikdash. The loss of the Beit HaMikdash is not only the source of the Mimatim Besimcha, it's the Mimatim Besimcha is the reason for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Because remember, because of that, you will serve your enemies, and then you become Avdei HaChashverosh. So that means that the turnabout in which these days become Ne'pach Mi'agon Besimcha, Mi'Evel Yom Tov, the only din of evil that we have in the year that is called all of Klal Yisrael is Av. So that means that there's a remez over that the entire month is connected that month, and the switchover is the switchover just as we have by Av. We have that gradual getting closer and closer to the time of the actual Churban, in which we have more and more halachas. So year two, there's this gradual yamim ka yamim, and it's a din in the Chodesh itself. HaChodesh asher ne'epach leh. Even though some are so disturbed by Chodesh because they don't realize that that's what they're referring to. As it did in the Chodesh, they say maybe it means that Chodesh Hashanah Pachla is a reference to remembering the Inyanim that happened in the actual month, which was Sivan, where the whole thing was turned about. Okay, but obviously that's not the simple meaning. It's not the way the Gemara understands it. So we're really talking about Evel Yom Tov, ultimate Klal Yisrael Evel to Yom Tov. Of course, there's also a remez that some of the other Mefarshim bring, that this goes back to Haman's happiness. That the day Yud Gimel was during the Avelut of Moshe Rabbeinu, which turns out to be Me'evel Yom Tov, because he didn't realize, as the Gemara said, the centrality of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth also being Nogea, the meaning of Purim. And this goes back to the Kal V'chomer that we spoke about before. So all of this was included in Moshe's presence. You're fine. But what is the meaning of going backwards before it even happened? Yomim kayamim, you say afterwards. No, but it says v'lo yavar, so it can't mean that. But certainly that would have been your natural reaction if you're celebrating a victory. So celebrate it afterwards, celebrate the next. You don't celebrate it before. But remember that the whole story of the Megillah is about how everything turns out to have been worked out before. Not only in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hitim Rufu Alamaka, but the very meaning of the word Memuchan that starts the whole idea, in which the meaning of Hur is seen as the very Pur that he was Mapio was Hafach Lepurenu, as we say in the poem, right? Pur Haman Hafach Lepurenu. It was always our Pur. So the Venahafachu changes the past. Doesn't only change the future. In other words, when he says Revach Vatzalah Yamod Yudim Makom Acher, and Esther turns out to be that Makom Acher, then that redefines what that Makom Acher was, you see? In exactly the same way that if you say, okay, the half-life of this material is exactly this. But I can't say which atoms it's going to be, but I can tell you half of these atoms will have decayed within whatever it is. It's got 3-day half-life. 3 days, half the atom. Now, obviously, whatever atoms actually did decay during that time, so then those are the ones that decay. Again, it's the same question. Does Adam A say to the next door Adam, it's my turn, don't you go? And after having decayed the one, hey, maybe that's fun, I should try it too. Because obviously that would sort of ruin the entire Pur. I mean, the whole thing is random. So there needs, and yet randomness should have absolutely no pattern at all. That's one of the most astonishing things. That somehow randomness has patterns. You understand, all of statistical mathematics is absolutely mad. Because if you take a look at a particular event within the context of the event, not anything around it, nothing at all can you say about the event. It is what it is. Or you could say the percentages of the possibility. If you have, let's say, one face on the die, fine. So you'll say it's one chance out of six. And what's the chance of doing it again the next time? It's still one chance out of six. And what's the chance of doing it the next time? It's still one chance out of six. And what's the chance of doing it the next time? It's still 1 chance out of 6. So the 10 trillionth time, it's still 1 chance out of 6. And yet the mathematical possibility of the trillionth time, in terms of the pattern, is completely and totally impossible. The universe doesn't exist long enough for there to be such a thing. So how in the world is there any connection between the time that I'm standing here right now and about to do it, and what's going to happen based on anything that happened in the past? Absolutely none. There's clearly nobody communicating to the die and saying, you can't fall on a sixth of a trillionth time. It's not possible. What? Hello? I'm hearing voices? You see? So the whole thing is mad. Therefore, essentially, the story of Purim exists in the past, exactly as it does in the future. So the meaning of Yamin Kayamim is that it redefines what happened, always. That's the issue of randomness. The end result informs what happened. So now we know.
Right.
It's very weird. In which case, now that we're after Purim, let's celebrate it before. It's very, very strange. So if we're talking about a war in which we understand that the outcome was Rabbah Latzalayam Odeidim Makom Acher, so then it's a given that you could read the Megillah on that day. I mean, that's the main day, right? So that was the Yom Kiyilah Lakolu. That becomes now the Etzem Nes of Purim, is the fact that I'm able to read before. So it's part of the change in paradigm of understanding the nature of Pur itself that makes Purim exist in the past. But there's another element in this, which is very important. And that is, remember, was all about redefining letters that had been sent out in the past. Literally in a logistical sense. So the ambiguous letters are left open to be redefined so that now, retroactively, we're meant to understand Liyot Atidin Liyom Hazeh. So as the Medrash puts it, yeah, the Umot HaOlam, they're liyot atidim, but they never know what they're atidim for. It's only about Yisrael that you could say that they're atidim for something. That's meant to happen, right? So it stresses the difference between liyot hayudim atidim and liyot amim atidim liyom hazeh. But then what that really is saying is the fact that the ktav that was sent out, and that was Nechta B'tabat HaMelech, Ein LaHashiv, if you really think about it, and by the way, remember that the Kimu V'Kiblu HaYudim is exactly the same thing. Purim redefines Kabbalah Zotera. It's not a new Kabbalah Zotera. It's Kimu Mashi Kiblu Var. We thought there was a problem in Kabbalah Zotera because we didn't recognize any of the issues that would allow us to live within a world that seems to be not what we are, because it's so well defined. The whole idea of Purim is recognizing that it's not well defined, and because of that, it's for you. So that when you discover that something is really profoundly meant for you, as it is on Har Sinai, which is originally experienced as a violation of my own potential, the exact opposite becomes clear on Purim. The more something is so clear cut, the way it was for Esther, Atabet Avich Tovedu, you can't afford not to take advantage of opportunity, and therefore taking advantage of opportunity is a violation of your freedom, or is the greatest extension of your freedom? So what are you talking about coercion? Now you understand that the inyonim of the rape of Esther and the centrality of the Kelev and Aryeh experience that she had is literally Kabbalat HaTorah. It's not that it happens to be a nice metaphor for the same issue. The same sense that she had of the potential that life gives her, and that at times it's the very fact that there are no real options that make this so perfect for you, that the loss of options in the end is the clarity of, for all intents and purposes, the entire universe existing for one purpose. So that all of the information up until this second hangs on the ability of you to be you. So you don't experience that as a loss. You experience that as insanely fulfilling. It's like, it's not that I was meant for this moment. It's that creation was meant for this moment. So you feel yourself as containing the entire universe. At that point, when you look back and say, so what do you mean you're going to give us a Torah? I was hoping to be able to go to the beach and forget about everything. What are you talking about? That's the Alta Dami Ben Afshech. What do you think? You're going to go back to sleep? That's what you are? Liyot Atidim Liyom Hazeh for who the hell cares? The whole point is to Liyot Atidim Liyom Hazeh is that you were meant to live, born to be free. That's the point. You can't not be free. You were born to live. So your only option is suicide. Once you look at it at that point, it's like Kofalei Marchagigit. I was the one that was going to commit suicide. So therefore, Kimu V'Kiblu is a complete redefinition of the the seminal moment in Klal Yisrael's history. It's experienced differently now through Esther. It wasn't just metaphorically what she went through that's similar to Klal Yisrael's going through, and Klal Yisrael's like a woman, and I go, come off it. That's just a childish way of talking about the way everybody experiences the all of Torah and the all of mitzvahs. It's the all of existence. That's Bal Korchacha Tanolad. Fine. What are you going to do? You're going to complain about that? You're going to take it as absolutely glorious. Of course it's Bal Korcho. Existence is Bal Korcho. What can you do? It's the ultimate way things are. Yeah, fabulous. The entire issue is the more we can recognize the way all everything is informed by the future instead of by the past. That was the, I didn't send it to you. That's the Humpty Dumpty quote in which the queen it says to Alice, you know, boy, it must be so funny living backwards, because Alice could only remember something that already happened. Whereas the queen said, well, I only remember the things that are going to happen. Must be so strange living with your memory walking backwards. It's like brilliant. And that's very much what this is about. Because Rebbe Vatzalai Yamod Yudimi Makom Acher is basically remembering the future, not remembering the past. But if that's the case, then the whole idea of the Yashiv Machshavto, or the Ein Lahashiv, relates directly to Teshuvah. Because the real truth is, of course you don't undo the past. It's not the issue, is to undo the past. It's just that what was before rotten is now informed by the future as being a schus instead of an avin. That's all. So the context changes because of what, in the end, it turns out to be its meaning. So you don't go out to be okay the past, to pretend it didn't happen. You go out to make the past productive in a way that was completely not understood or experienced at the moment, in which in the local context it was only bad.
We do this with Pesach.
To some extent. This is exactly.
Matzah,
not only that. It's
no,
the matzah is eaten in advance of the reason for eating it.
Yes, that is well.
That's part of the idea. That's the Nismah Gula Lagula. You eat the matzah as Lechem Oni because you're not going to have chance to bake bread tomorrow.
That always weirded me out. I didn't make it. It's like, what? And now my kids say that. What? But what was crossing my mind was the yin of how we put ourselves in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Such a history thing that went on for
right. Yeah,
there.
That's right.
We are leaving Mitzrayim.
Right.
There's a tzechira. That's
true. Right. In other words, the way we spoke about also in terms of the Vayikra, the Aleph, and the Vayikar, is that the end result ends up informing the process all along in this. It doesn't that it really redefines it. It makes it accessible to you. There is the more accessible the overall space of Bria is, or the overall space of your life is, if you want to put it into very simple psychological elements. So the older a person gets, the more aware they become of the overall space of their life. And then the things that were experienced in a particular way start taking on a perspective of how they fit into that integrated totality. In which case, all of the things that were important about them could have very well be the least important part of them, and the part that you never paid any attention to becomes the most important part of them. So that things that made you very angry make you very fulfilled, or you know, that's all part of the. I mean, it's part of the process of psychoanalysis as well, but it's also part of the general maturation and aging. More, I think, is a better word. It's actually part of the aging process in which you begin to become more aware of this space, which you're not aware of at all as an infant, and gain a very gradual as you get older and older, you get a gradual grasp of a life instead of a moment. And I mean, when you see actually that it's a way of presenting things that works very well in literature. It was for Benjamin Button, for instance. Right? Is that what his name was? It works beautifully. It's a movie about someone who starts off old and gets younger.
Oh.
It's a little bit weird, so. But the idea of seeing a life in retrospect rather than going
forward.
It's a very moving thing.
Is this what we've been discussing with regard to awareness? Not so much remembering, but being aware of.
Right, mindfulness. The original meaning of the word memory is mindfulness, yes.
And to be reminded.
That's something. This is mindfulness.
Oh, yes, remember. When somebody says, remember.
That's remember.
Right, but when we try to remember, it's not like we're going to forget and then remember. We're just going to keep this in mind. Something
the mafia is. Okay, so that is the giving, the redefining the letters, which is really the complete rebuilding of Achashverosh, is the most amazing thing, because and Mordechai stresses it, the way in which everything that he planned comes back on his head, and then continues to say, and then sent out the Sefer again to redefine it, and hung up 10 sons of Ammon, but so that it's the fact that the Melech came to the understanding, where she says, this is the contradiction in the pasuk that's coming up, that is so striking that it just hits you right in the face as being the weirdest. Just to skip for a moment the pasuk Chafei, Ubivoa lifnei Amelech Amar ima Sefer. This is really weird. She comes to the king and he says with the book. The Gemara says, Ubivoa lifnei Amelech, just says Amra. Right, so in other words, what happened, obviously there's many levels of meaning to it, but on the simplest level, in her coming in front of the king, he ended up being the one to create these new Svarim, which because of the fact, Talua Tovet Benavala Eitz, were actually the thing that made him start over. That's the Shushan story. But it starts with first Yeshuba Shafto Ra'ah, and then Talua Tovet Benavala Eitz. So there were two different stages. That too, part of the nature of tshuva. So everyone that was there experienced a reassessment of the nature of the world that they live in. That's the meaning of the paradigm change, which is the essence of this Megillah, or the essence really of every Yetziah from Galut, is that it affects the way that you perceive what has happened to you in the past. This is why, when it comes to Pesach, you find also the most remarkable thing, Halakha L'Maisa. Zechorot Hayom Hazeh Sheyatzata Mimitzrayim. So the chiyuv is to remember today. And yet in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the chiyuv is to go all the way back to Terach, Avi Avram, Avi Nachor, and Arami Oved Avi, and this is when Avram, what in the world? We have a mitzvah to remember today. But there is no way of remembering today. Because the more the space is there, the more is the memory of today. Because now the future will inform today. That's why we talk about the building of the Beit HaMikdash and so on. It hasn't even happened yet. But it's the only way to remember today. Which is you could certainly feel that as you're going through your life. If you are aware of 40 years from now, today, then you start remembering today. But if you're not, then today simply disappears into a black hole. It means nothing. It's amazing. You can have like all these events happening in your life, and they mean absolutely nothing because at the time, they have no context. They're just like a lot of tumult and a lot of people coming over and saying Mazel Tov, or Chas V'Shalom saying the other. But the point is, it doesn't make any difference. Because a week later it's in the past somewhere. But the point is, when it's perceived in the totality and you're aware as if you're looking back, then it becomes informed by the future.
It is conscious.
That's what makes it conscious. Yeah, consciousness is a spatial thing. It's a field in which things start taking a place. That's why there's no way to rush it. Really, it's something that happens the older person gets, the more conscious they're capable, at least, of becoming.
Wait, maybe you said that there's no point in rushing it?
You cannot rush it consciousness.
It can't be manipulated.
Yeah, it's not at all mechanical. But you can point.
As soon as things are manipulated, that's all that's hard.
Yeah, I didn't rush in terms of manipulation.
But you can be aware at that moment too.
Yes, specifically, not you can. That's what it does for you, is it makes you aware of them. I'm saying that's what enables you to remember a moment. Yes, as I'm saying, that the future enables you to remember the moment, because you're remembering it from the future, not from the past. I'm saying that's the idea of Yamin Kayamin. Purim takes on greater meaning because of the fact that it existed in the past through its own future. This is the reason that Esther was so insistent on seeing what happened in Purim as being part of the original Mechiyah V'Amalek. We're going to see this, that she argues with the Chachamim, and they don't want that. They say, how can you add a book to the Torah? But more of that tomorrow. וקיבל היהודים את אשר החלו לעשות ואת אשר כתב מרדכי עליהם. You notice the first thing that's very striking, of course, is the confusion of וקיבל היהודים instead of saying וקיבלו היהודים, which the whole time we've been talking about them בלשון רבי. But when we take it to consideration that one of the approaches in the Gemara to את אשר החלו לעשות is exactly the reference back to Kabbalah Satera, you have exactly the same situation, because over there it also says וייחן ישרו. In the Vayichan Yisro, we learn ki ish echad b'lev echad. In which case, the meaning of the kibel ha-yudim, as the Gro points out, would be shekulam kiblu ke'echad. So that it needed to have a tikkun of the am mefuzaru mefurad, which was really part of the mocker of the destruction, and now it became a kibel ha-yudim. But the other thing is of course, what's very striking, is the tremendous change between Vayichan Yisrael and the kibel ha-yudim. Remember that Yehudim has been the theme throughout this Yehudi, the Kvira against Avodat Kochavim, the new identity, essentially, of Klal Yisrael, in which, in terms of the entire story of the Galut, and the period in which really it was only Shevet Yehuda that was left, the identity became changed from the nature of Yisrael, has a clear sense of its the broadness of Yisrael, to a specific element of Yisrael which was central to the entire period of the Galut, which was brought out very, very strongly here in Esther, and that was Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh, which is related to ki yigid lo asher hu yehudi, yudenim mizera yehudi Mordechai, even though he wasn't from Yehuda. So the stress on Yehuda as particularly a negative identity, in a sense, which is that we're not Korei Mishtachad. That's the bottom line. And as the Gemara says, one of the reasons that he's called a Yehudi, central reason is Kol HaKefer Bavadat Kochavim, is Nikra Yehudi, the sense of Avidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the desire for the restoration of the Malchus, which relates to Yehuda. But most importantly, remember that what relates to Yehuda is the ability to do Teshuvah. And that is not just any ability to do Teshuvah, but the ability to do Teshuvah by being open-minded to completely different possibilities. And the only thing, really, getting back to the distinction between Shol, the Yamini, Ish Yamini, and the Ish Yehudi, was that issue. And it specifically came out in terms of the Kriyat Zera Amalek. So that what it was that Shol could not accept was that he was not Mekayim Devar Hashem. And he keeps on going on and going on and explaining how really he was, and that there's justifications for this, and there's justifications for this. And even after Shmuel points out to him everything that he's done wrong, and he's finally, and Shmuel says it to him in very, very strong language. He basically tells him, would you like to shut up and listen to what Hashem has to say? You want to keep on talking about your garbage? There's this heretic already. Enough! This is sickening. So he says, okay, that bears. So now tell me. So even after all of this, when he finally says, you're right, but let's not talk about it in public. Could you please come back and pretend that everything's okay? And you'll notice how that pretense is so central to the issues of the Megillah. The Megillah is all about living in pretense. The element of farce over here wasn't the farce per se, it was the willingness to accept the farce. The idea of the Yehudim that stand up against, don't tell me that it's really not an Avodah Zarah, or don't tell me that it's only about your dignity. And in the end, it's, don't tell me that these letters don't mean exactly what I think they mean. The Vayizak Zak Tagdol HaMara, and Esther's pointing to Ahasuerus directly and saying, don't tell me that you do nothing about it. The stripping away of this farce is so central to the identity of the Yehuda. Because what it was that Yehuda did specifically was that he openly and publicly admitted it. With Tamar. That was the total difference between him and Shaul, and this is exactly what happens with David HaMelech. The moment that the Navi tells him, it's you, there were no attempts at justifying himself. It was the same meaning of the Erev. Now you want to hear what Hashem has to say. The difference is remarkable, in which everything is taken to heart, in which everything is changed, in which everything is immediately applied directly to the situation. So that what we have here is a willingness to accept the identity of Yehudim, and that is the only thing that will last and provide for survival during the period of the Galut, although it doesn't have the same power of the identity of Yisrael in terms of its breadth, its universality, its ability to transcend all local ideas. But nonetheless, and that of course was the reason that Yisrael broke away from Yehuda. There was a sense of being compelled to live in this little world that they had constructed of, you know, their own ideas and the building of the Beis Hamikdash and its limitations and its religious elements, and none of that existed in Yisrael. It was only a function of Yehuda. And yet here, remarkably, after the churban of the Beis Hamikdash of Yehuda, the thinking is the Lishkas HaGozi. And the connection in the Beis Hamikdash to Yehuda and Binyamin is that the Misham Tetzei Torah the Yisrael is from Yehuda. And that's the element of the Lishkas HaGozi, which is next to the Mizbeach. The Shechina is on Yishera in Binyamin. And that's exactly the reason. That's the Chibur to Yisrael. And in terms of the political and the conceptual breakdown between the two malchiyot, the fact that over here it should be the Kibel HaYudim instead of the Vayichan Yisrael, and that it required a Kabbalah Satera on the level of the Kibel HaYudim as opposed to the Vayichan Yisrael, speaks volumes about the nature of the development of the Galut to come, the second Beis HaMikdash to come, and the things that would stand us as Kfira against Avodah Zarah, which was remarkable chelet of the development of Galut. It was the, I mean, you take a look at the, you know, not only on the individual level, but even on the national level, the debates and the questioning and the constant pressures and the desire to force you into Avodah Zarah, the new idea of Shas Hashmad. These were new things, really. Up until now, that isn't what we were dealing with. We're dealing with the taiva for Avodah Zarah, which afterwards disappeared because they dealt with that when they came back and felt that we couldn't deal with the desire, the conceptual elements of Avodah Zarah. But the question of standing as a nation for truth and for not giving in to these kind of things, though it meant your life, though it meant the destruction of whole communities and an identification of the Jews as those who would not give in, the ones who would not accept Jesus, the ones who would have to be datehem shonot mikol ha'am, exactly the things that began this period now and that led to so much of the uniqueness of our identity during that period. It's difficult for us to relate to it because the amazing reason that it was so successful. The success of humanity over the past 2,000 years is based on Yehuda. The entire scientific revolution, the Enlightenment, the fact that religion has been finally overturned in most quarters of the globe is all part of Yehuda. It's the success of Yehuda. It's the success of the Kfira against Avodah Zarah that has been so successful that now it's almost a joke. But remember, until very, very recently, not only wasn't a joke, it was a reason to be murdered, to be burned at the stake, to sit at your Pesach Seder shaking that they're going to come in to kill you. I mean, within recent memory, we're talking about not 500 years ago. We're talking about people that you know. Sorry? Yeah, I think, but as a nation, as a whole, and it's simply amazing how powerful the success was, that the reason that we are now at the crisis of the paradigm that Mordechai set up is because of that success. That's the beauty of it.
This one is really overrated. Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
The fact that Achashverosh turns from a caliph to an Aryeh?
It's very interesting. No, it's not. It's funny because the Gemara describes the nature of the Eish on the Mizbeach of Binyamin as a caliph and as an Aryeh. So that originally the Eish would sit like an Aryeh that was Ravut, and they would carry it place. Then it would jump out like a lion, and even though it's on the Mizbeach of Binyamin. And afterward, in the time of the, after the Churban, the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, where it didn't disappear, says the Gemara, but it was like a caliph that was sort of in a fetal position. So, I mean, there's definitely grounds for some of that, yes.
But overreaching.
Yeah, if you're overreaching. It's not so overreached. It's very interesting. Very, very. Okay, but that means that we are currently, as I was about to say, we are currently in a crisis situation. Yeah. We're currently in a crisis situation because of the success of Yehuda. So it's been so successful that, first of all, it is now reactive instead of proactive. It doesn't have anywhere to go except to eat itself up. In other words, that drive to fight against any element of Avodah Zarah is turned against science or anything different from what was represented as the fight against Avodah Zarah, basically. And having succeeded now in undermining all systems of belief, remarkably, something that started out itself as a very religiously founded concept in all of the idea of all of these things that give a level of Kedusha in a Golus that didn't really support concepts of Kedusha, but to provide a small home, a Migdash Ma'at for Kedusha, by definition borders on Avodah Zarah. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash itself is certainly incorporative of Avodah Zarah, but because it follows the Dvar Hashem, and because it's completely defined by the Navi and Hobzav, and the Meis Hashem Allah Yizkil, and so on and so forth. So as the Kuzri points out, it avoids the most egregious expressions of Avodah Zarah, although hidden inside of the Kodesh HaKadosh is the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, the remuzzled to the ego. But certainly the idea of an ethnic religion, as the Kuzri points out to the Melech, you know, as the Chacham points out to the Melech HaKuzari, he says, if I told you that the ego was building a Beit HaKnesset, would you think that's terrible? Right? And he said, no. But that's because you're used to the idea. But it's really crazy. How do you build a building and say this is a holy place? The only reason that we can build a Beit HaKnesset is because we need a minion. So we need a place to hold them. So therefore, it's justified already to do it nicely and so on and so forth. It's a remarkable discussion. But it means that you're always, in trying to provide a Beit Kiddusha, a Migdash Ma'at, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matir B'divrei HaNaviim. You are Lamaisa getting much, much closer yourself to the very Inyanim that you're fighting. It's because of that it doesn't have anywhere blatant to fight. There's no more, burning at the stake. There's no more, either bow down to Yoshke or, you know. There's just social religion. So, Mela, okay, so what are you going to do with all of these energies that are pent up inside of you? We're being Golish, but I'm not going to have to edit this anyway. Some of it is like too dangerous. But the truth is that one of the most amazing things that Mordechai achieves is remarkably, if you take a look at what is the most powerful part of Yisrael that provides some basis for being saved from the mistakes of religious madness, it's the fact that yeshiva bochurim are so cynical. They're some of the most cynical people in the world. And what enables them to be cynical is really the Koyach of the Torah itself. So when Mordechai set this up as a counter to Amalek, what he managed to do was amazingly incorporate within the nature of Kabbalah's HaTorah, Nimulchemet Amalek, much of what happened in the Torah, again, because it's really Zelu Matzeh, but much of what happened in the Torah was responsive to what was happening in the general world without realizing that it was responsive. So in other words, the approaches as science began to develop, as a focus on structure began to develop, as rationalism began to develop, so too did the approaches to learning become more and more scientific, more and more definitive, more and more structural. And that itself led to almost a vicious cynicism, which now, I mean, you talk to the yeshiva bochurim and the macharai element and the making fun of everything that isn't exactly what's their particular dalet ames, is so powerful that it undermines any belief in artificial holiness. I mean, not that there's real holiness, but all in all, each one undermines some element of the other's false holiness. So it's a self-limiting process. Committing yourself to a kibel ayudim instead of the vayichan yisrael is necessary for many reasons. The simplest one, which we've discussed, and it's also self-limiting for many reasons. The simplest ones we've discussed: it's success, it's very own vulnerability to what it is that it encourages in its own name. As long as it's b'chubra to Torah. The deeper issues that go into it is the fact that very much as the first 10 deres were misuken through what it is that Noah achieved, the deres of the original Knesset Haaretz required the same type of tea, in that there was a lot of thinking, exceptionalist thinking, thinking that was very entitlement oriented. This is what we are. This is a given. This doesn't need to be protected. This is, you know, of course, again and again, there were tshuva movements. judgments of the Malachim that attempted to reconstruct. But there was always that underlying sense, particularly among Yisrael, that since we are Yisrael, we can get away with anything. And indeed they did. They really and truly did, in a sense. I mean, Akiva was amazing in what he got away with, and Yerovam HaSheni was amazing. What I mean, and there was a willingness from Hashemayim to support that kind of thing because on some level, really profoundly true, and it was more successful during those periods than Yehuda was successful, at least from a geopolitical point of view. So that is remarkable. The tikkun to such a thing is, as the Navi says to us, that you have to be a makabel to be an am that is shavel a mamlach. You need to be, and like this, the Gemara says, "Ya aniyuta liYisrael." That being poor and living in a fashion that everybody looks down at and thinks is a sign, a sure sign of God's having rejected you, is the most beautiful thing that can happen to Israel during Golus, because it's the only way in which you get down to the level of the peasantry of Europe, which is really what happened, and became so imbued with what it is that you need to do in order to create Kedusha. Which the entire week was Shabbos. The only life you had was Shabbos. The transformation of whatever little elements of Kedusha that you could hold on to. It's difficult for us to imagine that, especially living in Eretz Yisrael. We have the same Nisyanos because we're surrounded by all of our history and by all of our exceptionalism and by all of our taking things for granted and so on. But until very, very recently, the things that enabled you to survive among the incredible darkness of Avdei Avodah Zarah was this unbelievable ability to hold on to whatever sparks of Kedusha were yours with such tenacity and with such love and such commitment that, I mean, when you meet these people and you see their strength of character that comes from just their chol, it sounds like a ridiculous thing. But these are things that mean so much because they were more than the comfort of a way of life. They were small nitzotzot of Kedusha that remained to them that were worth everything that allowed them to survive. And that's the exact opposite of what was going on in Yisrael. So, and it's also the exact opposite of the Kofalayim HaRchagigis, you know, because it's your own sense of your own grandeur that expects to have everything, and that the very fact that there should be no existential way out is viewed as somehow a problem with your independence. But as things are crushed down to their fundamentals, and you realize what a gift it is that you have any connection to being able to get out of this awful place, in your mind, having a place which is Kadesh, in your mind, and in a day of the week, and in Yomim Tovim, and in a few minutes in Shul in the morning, and so on. It's difficult to describe to someone who hasn't seen it, what this meant. And when you see people, the simplest people, who spent their entire day working for pennies just in order to be able to survive, and would get up every single morning at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the mikveh, to be at a daf yomi, or an equivalent to their terms of daf yomi, to learn a little bit of Gemara at 3 o'clock in the morning, would sit there for 2 hours without any idea of what they were talking about, but just the feeling that they were involved, they were saying the words of Torah, or among the Sfardim, they're reading the Zohar, they don't know what they're talking about. But the Tehillim and the Kiddush of the words and the Amira and say, this is survival. It was literally survival. It was the only thing that kept me alive. And I'm walking across the bridge and watching Yashke Pipik with Kadosh, 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 and I'm nauseating and vomiting as I'm walking. This is the thing that allows me to live. So this was the Kibel HaYehudim. And it was a very profound Kabbalah. And we use that word Kabbalah in the sense of Kabbalat Ol. It's accepting something upon yourself, which we don't use the word kabel for the original Torah. We apply this word to it, kabbalat haTorah. But it's not used in the Torah originally as Kabbalah. Because Kabbalah is really putting something on your shoulders. And that's precisely what was missing. And this is exactly what happened here. The willingness to live in darkness, in which darkness itself, the Hester of Esther, became the Giyui. So this is a tremendously important pasuk. And therefore, it's Kibel HaYudim et Asher Hechelu LaAsot. That's the diyuk that the original acceptance of Torah was in terms of Naaseh. It was the Nishma that created the problem originally. So what they began just to do, suddenly became a Vicky Bell. That's what this is, a restatement of the whole nature of Kabbalat HaTorah, as we spoke about yesterday, retroactively. That it redefines what took place there, Et Asher Hechelu. That was only the beginning. Now it finally comes into its own, it matures. And so, what they had, the simple meaning, of course, what they had begun to do, meaning at the year of the Nes. Ve'et Asher Katav Mordechai Aleihem, and what it was that Mordechai had written to them about the way that they were supposed to maintain this as a takana. And what he had written, and what he had insisted upon, of course there was a very good reason for him to insist upon it, because many people were blaming Mordechai for the whole thing. So as the Mefarshim say, you know, we're Meichel, your great Hatzola, because you were the guy who made the whole thing, you put us into danger in the first place. So now you're coming on, we should celebrate. You know, forget about the problems, and forget about the celebration, just go away and don't do it again. This was really the way that many people felt. We know that from the Gemara. Ra'u ma'asah liyudi, ra'u ma'asah liyemini. And therefore, what he insisted upon was, ki haman ben amdata agagi, sorer kol ha'yudim. Let's get something straight. This is what Mordechai is writing them. The definition of Haman ben Hamdata Agagi, can you put that in your pipe and smoke it? We're talking about the child of Agag, okay? We're not talking about a guy that I waved my shoe at. We're talking about something that's been in place for centuries for you idiots. And he's really a nice guy, you understand. It's just that you got on his nerves. He's a Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. His entire life is built on tearing them apart. What's that? Exactly. Yeah, of course. So Rer Kol HaYehudim, that's what he is. It was just a question of allowing it to come out. Don't you understand? You think it's better that it was under the surface? And would it come out before anybody knew about it? I had something to do with it. If anything, I was the one that let us know how it is that we could respond to it. It was the phonies that were destroying everything. The people that could pretend that, yeah, this is really Mr. Nice Guy. I mean, he's just doing, of course, you know, the best thing for national policy, or whatever it is. All that he wanted to do all along was planning some way to destroy the truth. That's all. You think it was, oh, he reacted and he was angry and he was... No. I gave him an opening to tear himself apart. That's all I did. He was Chashav al Yehudim la'abdam. And what he wanted to do was to destroy them. But not just to destroy them. It wasn't enough for him. He peeled poor. Hu agora luhumam la'abdam. The first thing he wanted to do was not simply to wipe them out, but to make them hamumim. Hamumim is to be completely lost to any sense of your own value, of your own values. Exactly what the Nazis did. First thing we want to do is to make sure you don't make the mistake of thinking that you're human. After that, we'll kill you. But there's many steps that we need to reduce you with first, to crush you, to be mahamim you. And only then la'abdam. So the idea of the poor was to give them the sense that the heavens are against them, destiny is against them, the entire humanity is against them. Sit and think about it for the next 12 months so that you could plan your graves. Enjoy the liyot atidim liyom hazeh. So it's an amazing insight. I mean, he's bringing out to them, you have got to understand what really happened. And this is so important because, as we were talking about a moment ago, the issue in the Megillah ends up being the willingness to face the truth. You cannot face the truth. You cannot be zocher to the nes, which is hidden, for a very simple reason. The hanhaga of a hester ponim is built around lies. If you are ready to lead your life as a lie, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyeg the elam as a lie. It's very simple. It's not just zelu umadze. It's not that it's a mida keneged mida. It's that's all that you're capable of. You want things to be a lie. You don't want any other real relationship. So what should I do? Tear apart the curtain for a moment. You should see what it's really like. For what? From my end? You'll find out what it's really like. You find out what it's really like. Find out whether Mr. Hitler is Mr. Nice Guy, who's just playing to the masses. Find out whether the things he wrote in Mein Kampf, whether he really meant them, or it was just, you know, the kind of words that everybody thinks out there, but, you know, they never mean anything. You find out. Why don't you find out? Find out whether Mr. Homan is Mr. Nice Guy, whether we can throw Mordechai to him and everything will be fine. You'll find out. So the willingness in the end, and the only thing that allows you to be saved, is the openness to the Kibel HaYehudim, to being honest for the first time. That's why everything that she does for Achashverosh, an inner honesty, is central to the change of the Hester Parim, which is Esther. Ke'anochi Hester Astir, that's the remes to Esther Menater. And her responsiveness to that is always absurd, either honesty, or it's her turn to speak, or reflecting you entirely. Be what you want. I'm not telling you anything. I give you a chance to mirror yourself. Those were the two things that she did. And that was all the incredible power of her tzniut, of not being dedicated to a particular hofa. This is what I am, but the willingness to respond always to what needed to be done. And then, there's beautiful pshat over here. Ubivoa lifnei hamalach, which everybody understands that means. Ubivoa as Esther. But it doesn't say anything about Esther here. So where's the antecedent? Ubivoa. And when she came, where was she? I didn't mention her here at all. So the Malbim says a beautiful pshat. Bivoa is a reference to Chashav al Yodim. When that Machshava came in front of the Melech, it was the Machshava itself that caused the entire, on the simple level, it means when the king became aware really of what was going on, you know, because that's the Malbim Shita throughout, that Haman really did fool Achashverosh and so on. But that's not Chazal's approach. So the beautiful meaning of this, ubivoah, yashuv machshavto hara'a, that was the bivoah. So when that chishev al hayudim, which was machshavto hara'a, came in front of the melech, that in the end is what forced the melech, because he had to relate to the sfarim. The machshavto hara'a were the original sfarim that he had sent out. So here comes his machshava, and ends up achieving what it set out to do without knowing, which is Amari Masefer. Well, I have no choice. We have to do something about this book that he sent out. The only thing I can do is to turn it around. And that's the Yashuv Machshavto HaRa'asher Chashav Al HaYudim HaRosho. So to go back on his own head. See, but how clear it is that Ubavoa would be referring to both references to the Machshava. V'talu oto v'banav ala etz. Nothing brings out the power of his own hachana, of the Memuchan, than to look at his thought as if it's an entity coming in front of the king and accomplishing all of this. So that it's him, it's his thoughts that accomplish his own destruction. It's such a beautiful pshat. And again, the way the Gemara understands it, it would be ubavoa, a simple meaning, when Esther came to the king. So why does it say Amar Ima Sefer? It should have said Amra Ima Sefer. So again, the simple meaning would be the king said with the Sefer that he sent. So when she came to the king to Taina that something needs to be done and she was mitchanenet, so then the king Amar Ima Sefer. The other meaning is, as the Gemara learns out, that this is the proof that you need to read Megillat Esther from the Sefer. So Amar Ima Sefer, you have to say it, but you have to say it from the book. Okay, but that's a remez. So Yashuv Machshav Torah Shechashav LaYudim Al Rosho V'talu Oto V'et Banav Al Ha'etz Al Kain. And it was because of the power of the entire idea of the poor. The fact that the entire thing was built around the absurdity of the random events and thoughts in which each one had their own plan. We're going to see how this is brought out beautifully in a moment. Each one had their plan. Everybody had the idea. And this is the invisible hand that is coming to... Look how beautifully the pasuk brings it out. It was that, and the poor that ended up being mitapech, that was the reason that they called these days Purim, al shem ha-poor. And that, what does that mean? Look what an unbelievably opaque pasuk this is. Nobody knows how to read this. Al kain, therefore, al kol divrei ha-igaret hazot. What? And therefore, on all the issues in this letter, umara'u al kain, this is like a run-on sentence that has no grammatical structure, and what they saw about it, umai gialayim, and what came out of it, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, it doesn't even say anything. It has no grammatical construction. It is a pasuk that is astoundingly, and the Gemara brings this out so beautifully, it's a pasuk that is created as an actual image of the idea that it's trying to bring out. It's trying to bring out the way things that have nothing to do with each other, and everybody with different ideas about what's going on, attempting to achieve a particular result and achieving the opposite result. And therefore the Gemara says, what does this mean? Mara u'al kacha. Says the Gemara, well, Mara Achashverosh, I don't know. Umayi Gialayim. Well, yeah, sure we know. We know the whole thing. We know what he was thinking. We know that this was the way in which he was attempting to create a new bira. And so on. That was the opening, in which the results were all ready for the end, anyway, from that moment. He had no idea what he was... I mean, you would have told him, perfect. He looked at you and said, what's perfect? You just set up the next 2,000 years. What are you talking about? Or, Mara Ahaman Shadit Kareh B'Mordechai. Well, like, what was he thinking? Umay Gia Aleihem Taluato V'Badam V'Alei. But that was a subplot. So, like, how did he get involved in a subplot in the middle of this? That's brought out so strongly that it's a subplot. I just happened to notice that he's not following. I can't take it. So now's the time when I can take advantage of the party and... I want to go in there feeling like a mensch. And all of a sudden, this subplot like explodes in his face. So it's, again, the same thing. Random things. Mara Amordechai. Shelo yichrav, lo yishtachaveh. Mara Tester. She's minat Haman. So, I mean, but what are you saying? You're saying that everybody's separate thoughts that were uncoordinated, that seemed to be completely unrelated, in like one of these really wild modern movies in which you've got like 10 subplots going on, and then at one point in the movie everything like mixes, and they meet each other, even though they don't have any connection to each other. I'm going to see exactly what's happening in the Megillah. These crazy different things are going on, in which, like, you know, the big Sedvaceres revolution, the Vashti and Ahasuerus plan, the breakdown of the political system, the moving of the capital, the idea of his embarrassment and needing to change the structure of law in response to this, Haman's sudden rise to the top of the heap because of whatever events were, his background with some weird Jew named Mordechai. Mordechai's coming up at the time from the Galut, bringing Shaul's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. The fact that this was the moment at which she, I mean, all of these things are crazy stories, each one of them unrelated to any of the other stories. And that's what the Pasuk is trying to do. Don't you understand? Al kol divrei ha'igeret hazot. You're thinking, okay, couldn't we do without that piece? No! That's the whole point. You think I'm writing you this weird letter of just a list of random facts? So here's what random facts sound like when they're in a Pasuk about random facts. That what he was thinking, though, they were thinking, she was thinking, letters that I thought and you did. And what happened? And that's exactly what the Pasuk sounds like, right? So what we're trying to do is get you to understand this is al kol divrei ha'igeret hazot. It's all interrelated, even though it sounds like so many different plots. You've got to understand how each one of these people were like, what were they thinking? Mara ul kacha. What did it cause? What were the implications? How did it end up intersecting in so many strange ways with all of these plots? And therefore, having seen all of that, kimu v'kiblu ayudim. Now, before we continue, I would like to point out that there's been a tremendous change of ambience here in the focus, or at least on the surface, the focus of the entire Megillah. Because as we get closer and closer to the end, we seem to become more and more involved in the prote dinim of the Inyanim of Purim, which you would not have thought is part of the story of the Megillah per se. In other words, it's a rather strange thing to have the Megillah itself include the story of itself, how it came to be written, and what it was that they were macabre, and that has nothing to do with the Megillah. So the entire thing is very strange, where you consider that actually this entire parak, and really even the way it's arranged in terms of the real graphics of the Megillah itself, from the words Umordechai Yatzam with his Levush Malchut, all the way down to the Batichtov Esther Malka Bat Avichai Umordechai Yudi at Kol Tokef, which indeed in the Gemara is a query, what exactly does Kol Tokef mean? If Kol Tokef would mean Kol Tokef Hanes, according to one Mandi Amar, then it's really strange that we're having a story about the story that was Kol Tokef, but what it is we're talking about in the Kol Tokef is not part of the Kol Tokef. It makes it even worse. But from the very beginning, we actually have been contrasting the 2 days of Purim. And we've shown how those 2 days of Purim have gotten expanded into 4 days of Purim, Yamim Kayamim, and really 5 days of Purim, and how it's begun to spread out over the world, and what it is that you're supposed to do, and the comparison of Niskarim to Nahasim, the Kriyat HaMegillah to Asiya, and all the Diyukim and the Gemara Megillah. There's clearly something about this closure that, although it doesn't appear to be related to the actual topic of the Megillah, is in fact exceedingly related. In other words, the fact that we sort of seamlessly move from the events that take place on 2 days, which that we could understand that that's really part of the nace, was the complete reversal only in Shushan, which is something that then comes to redefine the nature of Purim all over. I understand that part. But then these letters that are going around and how much they accepted upon themselves, and all of that is very strange. Now, the truth is that because of the uniqueness of Purim, because remember, this is the only thing where there is a mitzvah of Kriya B'tzibur that is an actual takana. Not only that, but all of the dinim of Kriyat HaTorah, pure Masechet Megillah. And we're going to see that that is an amazing pattern that's going to do things that are shocking in the psukim that are coming. But this implies that the change that we were talking about is not an effect of the Megillah. It's the purpose of the Megillah. In other words, if we were supposed to have a story, and then as a result of that story, come gradually to understand the implications of that story, and it would seep in that things have changed and so on, then it would be really strange to explain away why it is that the story includes the dinim of how it is that you're supposed to relate to the story. If, on the other hand, the nature of Purim and the nature of Megillah is specifically, as the name itself implies, to be Megale, and that's what a Megillah is, from Hester, which was Esther, then the point of the Megillah is not the Igeret, it's the Megillah. Remember, here's not called a Megillah, it's called the Igeret. It's the Igeret of Purim. There were two Igrot of Purim, as we'll see. There was that original story, which we already read, that Mordechai wrote about, in which he explained that, listen, Haman HaGagi was Tzurekol HaYudim, and it's not the way people were looking at it. It wasn't just an accidental kind of thing in which he was angry at me, and it was all palace politics and so on. This thing had some very profound roots, and you need to appreciate that. That worked for the first year, as we're going to see. It didn't work for the second year. People weren't keeping Purim, as we're about to go and look at. And that means that the purpose of the second Igeret Purim, which we call the Megillah, that includes all of these elements, including the self-reference to itself and the Kabbalah of itself, is fundamental to what it is. Now we're going to see what that means, but certainly the idea is that the shift in paradigm in which Hester becomes now Gilui, to write a Megillah about Hester is a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. How do you write an open hidden? The Megillah means open and Hester means hidden. So we're writing an open hidden. So that itself, point the very use of an oxymoron in the whole mitzvah of Purim, points once again to the nature of Purim, Hashem HaPur, which itself is almost an oxymoron. You don't want to call the Megillah Hashem HaPur. The Pur was the one thing that wasn't important, one would think. And there's been so much exercise, futile exercise, over the generations to try to understand why in the world Al-Kain Karuli Yamim Ha'ele Purim. Why? What's the Al-Kain? The early interpretations were very, very old-fashioned in the sense that they were still based on an incomplete understanding of the nature of the paradigmatic shift that took place. So, I mean, basically the way it was looked at is, well, there's something really meaningful about destiny. So the poor was, in fact, according to destiny, we were meant to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mehapech the destiny, and it turned out to be the menahavach Hu, the poor of Haman, like we sing in the song, hafach l'pureinu, and, I mean, really now. It misses the whole point of the Pasuk, in which the Pasuk specifically sets up this meaningless, dissonant, even words, all of that strangeness, which is only understandable if you understand what the real meaning of Purim is here. But let's continue on now and see how all of this gels, and the entire perek, I mean, it's really more than a perek, as it begins before, in the graphics of the Megillah itself, it begins from the Yetziah of Mordechai Melefne HaMelech. And we continue on. We already saw the strange Lashon in Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Gimel, where it uses a Lashon Yachid of Kibel HaYudim. And we understood that to be similar to the idea of Ayicha and Yisrael, Lashon Yachid. As the Mefarshim point out, there's something here that touches once again on the original Har Sinai. So too, Kimu v'kiblu HaYehudim. Now here, what it is read as is Lashon Rabim, but what it's written as is again Lashon Yachid. So kiblu Kimu v'kibel, it is what's written, or kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim aleihem v'al zar'am v'al kol ha'nilvim aleihem v'lo ya'avor liyot osim et shnei ha'yamim ha'ele kichtavam v'chizbanam v'chol shana v'shana. All right, so the simple meaning of the pasuk is that there was a Kabbalah on themselves and on their children and on the Gerim that were yet to come. It sounds very familiar. The Nefashot of who were standing at Har Sinai, Dam Gerim Ha'atidim Litgayer, is what we said over there. To keep, and again it stresses, the 2 days of Purim, as if that is so significant. Again, we've seen it significant in understanding that there's a multi-leveled approach to Purim that those 2 days of Purim actually mean. But everything about it seems to be overstated. Kichtavam, in their correct tav, v'chizbanam, and in their times. Well, obviously, v'shnei yamim ele, it has to be in their times. So, okay, we darshan all types of things from here, you know, questions of leap years and how it relates and which comes first and so on, but the simple meaning, b'chol shana v'shana, every single year. So we know that Chazal tell us that first of all, kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim, that is the really seminal moment of the Megillah. Because until now, as Rava says, there was a modah rabba l'oraita until this moment. That the Maimed Har Sinai never worked until this moment. So Kibu v'Kiblu Ayudim means, according to Gemara and Shabbat, it means that they were, for the first time, Kimu, what it was that had originally been Mekubal on Har Sinai, and that up until this time there was indeed an ability to reject Torah, and to claim that it was foisted upon us with the kofale marchi gigit, and that we felt that it was a violation of our own selves and integrity. And now, through this whole story, as we've spoken throughout the whole story of rape and what it means and how it is that that becomes literally Maimed Har Sinai, in which Esther needs to come to realize that what she thought was a kelev is an ari. And that's exactly what it is that we thought on Har Sinai. What we thought was a bum deal as a kofale marchi gigit turns out to be us. And it's the greatest opportunity for us. And therefore, the poor itself, which we now understand is what is meant by allowing yourself to become yourself. And that's based on the multiple levels of possibilities which poor represents, that you can turn into something by acting for yourself. In a way that is the opposite of, and yet on the surface very similar to what it is that Haman was looking for. The myriad possibilities that can be taken advantage of, is the way he sees it. That's Esav, the Alchar B'Chatichya, it's mechanical. So the approach of the mechanic, the Alchar B'Chatichya, is to use those days, Yamim, or these possibilities of the poor, and try to take advantage of them as you can. What can you get out of them? The Esther approach is very similar, except that it has nothing to do with getting anything out of them. It's what it is that they grant you, what opportunities they grant you, which is almost exactly the same thing. And that's why there's two visions of Reshit. There's the Reshit of Amalek and there's the Reshit of Yisrael. But in fact, the orientation in terms of relationship is so totally the opposite that it's shocking. Because one of them is throwing oneself into a relationship without any concern for the mechanical end, and that was Esther. That's the Kasher Avadati, which becomes now what the Umay Sa'elam are always making fun of Yisrael. How did you jump in? What a bunch of idiots you are. I'm a Paziza. Boy, you jump in before you even hear what it's about. Obviously, if you hear what it's about, then you're not engaged in a relationship. Then it's just mechanical. What can I get out of this? Does it fit my determination of what it's supposed to be? Then that's antithetical to an emergent relationship. You've already figured out where it's going, so how can it ever go anywhere? So that itself is the deepest rejection of Torah, is to ask, so what does it say? And that's exactly what the Umo did. That's why the Asiya was so central, the Naaseh was so central as a jump, and the willingness to engage in that relationship. So this is the moment, the Kimu v'Kiblu. And therefore it has these overtones of Har Sinai. So it's Aleihem, V'Yazaram, V'Kol HaNevim Aleihem, V'Lo Yavor. So again, the simple meaning of the Lo Yavor is that you never do it any later, you only do it earlier. We spoke about that in the previous pasuk, about how it is that Purim goes backwards in time. In that sense, it relates to Teshuvah and to the whole idea of Yom Kippurim and to the question of how one becomes the Mokom Acher by acting ex post facto. It's then clear that that's what it was. Therefore, it's Lo Yavor. But there's another level of Liot Osim et Shnei Hayomim Ha'el. And this, in a way, it introduces everything that's to come. It's part of what appears to be almost heretical about Purim. And the rest of the Megillah defines for us how difficult it was for Mordechai and Esther to get people to accept Purim, including this idea of having five separate days for Purim. Because remember, up until this point, the connection that was felt through Yehuda for the inyanim of Torah, Aveda, and so on, was specifically its consistency in all places. It was the fact that everyone, as actually Moshe Rabbeinu mentions even in his brachas, in which some nizbuchu zivchei tzedek means that the umas elon, as Rashi says, come up and they want to go see the Beis Hamikdash, and they're amazed at the fact that, my God, these people all really believe the same things, and they have the same avodas, and it's nothing like we have, where everybody has his own private God and his own private belief system that's supposed to match his local ethnic group and so on. I mean, this was on the surface. Everything was wrong with this whole plan. Number one, you're being meisif a mitzvah. That's an isser d'oraisa, lo tosif. And as the Gemara says, there never had been anything. Nobody ever dreamt of adding a mitzvah. What kind of crazy stuff is that? What do you mean? Have a special kriya, keep a kriya of a suda, give mishloach manos. When you're nuts, there's tayag mitzvahs. You can't go around adding mitzvahs. And this was terrible. I mean, they thought that this was pure apikorsis. And then, not only that, this young lady is coming around telling us that we're supposed to add another book to the Bible. How much have you heard such a thing? What do you mean, nichtavim? What do you mean, nichtavim? You want to write a private letter, thank you very much. No, says the Gemara. She insisted that it would be accepted as one of the svarim of the Tanakh. Can you imagine today? Writing a book and saying, and yes, and of course we should accept this as one of our holy writs. They'll string you, they'll quarter you. This isn't, you guys are crazy. You can't possibly do something like this. And not only that, I mean, so at least give us a consistent way of keeping that. No, it depends. If you live in this kind of place, then you keep it this day. In that kind of place, you keep it that day. I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? I mean, if you're going to do something, so do something. This overall tone, right, we've spoken about before, the amazing fact that the very book that describes all of this godless and nisim can't bring itself to say that everyone approved of Mordechai. Right? It has to bring out the fact that most people approved of Mordechai. That is strange in itself, but as we're going to go through and analyze the Pesukim, and as the Gemara actually says, and nobody wanted this. The Sanhedrin rejected it. Esther comes along, it says, Kitvuni Ludorot, and they bring proofs to her that it's usher, you can't do that, and she doesn't know what she's talking about, and this is usher to do and everything else, until gradually she wears them down with her riots, as we're going to see. And so because of that, we have over here the question of how it was that they were Kimu V'Kiblu. So, let's first of all take the sense, what do we mean by Kimu V'Kiblu? In other words, in what sense were they Makabla? With what koach were they Makabla? Is it like a Gezerah of the Chachamim? If it's a Gezerah of the Chachamim, so then any Bezdin can be Mavatal it, unless it's there as a din that is a siog, that you shouldn't come to fall into an Isser. Those type of things cannot be Mavatal. But something like this, I mean, why in the world, as the Malvin points out, if this is what it is, it's just the Gezerah, so then another Bezin will come along and say, listen, if it's Godel B'chachma B'minyan, this Gezerah is causing too many yeshiva guys to waste time and get drunk and dress up as girls. So let's be Mavatal this Gezerah. Right? What's the point of it? And then to say that it has to be Kichtavam v'Chizbanam, notice how this ties in directly to the questions of what was going on in Ezra. Remember, one of the main things that Ezra was doing was he was changing the Ksav. But up until that time, we had this whole discussion in detail. What was going on? There was a change in the Ktav Ashuri that started with the writing on the wall that nobody could understand. This is what Daniel understood, that writing was now meant to be the new Ksav of the Sefer Torah. Again, whether it's new literally, but new in terms of the standard usage for the Sefer Torah, and that there was a different Darg of Kedusha that was going to come, the same type of thing that's happening all the year. A new Darg of Kedusha that is entering into everyday life of things that used to be kept only in the most hidden places. And this, Kichtavam, is clearly going on that idea, not any old ktav, but kichtavam, meaning that, as Rashi says, shetehei ha-megillah ktuva ktav ashurit. So that means part of the takon of the Megillah was the being koveya, the change that had taken place in the Kisvei HaKodesh. So it wasn't only that she was asking that it should be read in public, she was asking that specifically it needs to be written in the ktav, which is now going to be miyuchad for ktiva of kedushah. And so, it's a beautiful diyuk that the Mesher Chochma has, and that and he's medayik that lamaisa we find these two words, the kimu v'kiblu, which seems to be a contradiction between the kri and the ksiv. I'm sorry, well, not the Mesher Chochma, it's the Gra, who's medayik that there's actually a contradiction. He says like this: Rava says in Mitzchak Shabbat that it's moda rabbi raita, but nonetheless they came back and they were makabel it bimei achashverosh because it says kimu v'kiblu ayudim. Problem is that in the Gemara in Megillah, where Shmuel says there's a whole question: how do we know that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh? There's many different riots, and Shmuel comes along and he says, look, if I was there, I mean, I'm a later generation, but if I were there, I would have said it says kimu v'kiblu ayudim. Kimu v'kiblu could only mean kimu l'mala, mashe kiblu l'mata, meaning that in the Shemayim, this gezerah was accepted as something that was with the approval of HaKadosh Baruch. And how would Esther know that if she didn't have Ruach HaKadosh? To which Rava says, all of the other questions we can prove, we can disprove. In other words, they're not necessarily true. We can't disprove that they're wrong, but we could show that they're not necessarily true. The only one that you can't completely show is not true is this that Shmuel says. And the problem is, and this Tesis himself asks, that that's the same Rava who was medayik from Kibbu v'Kibbu Ayudim, that it didn't mean that at all. It meant that the Yudim were mekayim what they had already been mekabel before in Har Sinai. So isn't he contradicting himself? What is he saying? So the Gra has a beautiful teretz based on the Kri and the Ketiv. So he says, look, and he's medayik it in the Gemara. You have a separate Kri and the Ketiv. The Kri is, as we read it, v'Kiblu. The Ketiv is v'Kibel. So when Shmuel was reading the pasuk, he was darshaning it from Kiblu. In other words, Kiblu must be Kimu l'mala, mash Kiblu ayudim l'mata. But what Rava was talking about in Shabbat was Kibel ayudim. In other words, Kimu mash Kibel Moshe b'tchila. And that's the way that it was written. He says, if you take a look, in Megillah it says, Shene'emar Kiblu, Kimu v'Kiblu. Shene'emar means that's how to say it. But in Shabbat it says, Dichtiv Kimu v'Kiblu. As is written. There it says, as is said. That's the classic Gra. Classic Gra. So one of them is based on the Kri, and one of them is based on the Ktiv. And there's all that. I mean, there's clearly a very profound interrelationship between the two. Because if it's referring to the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw himself into the relationship, that's the Pshat Kimu L'mala, Masha Kiblu L'mata, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted that as a full acceptance of Torah, then of course it relates back to the Kichaloto L'daberito, in which the moment of giving the Luchot, he says to Moshe, get out of here. So in that sense, we finally get to the end, which is why Moshe's presence is so central to the whole story. That Gemara that tells us that Moshe is b'shigamu basar is part of the Purim story. Because that Gemara says, Esther minat Torah minayin, Mordechai minat Torah minayin, Haman minat Torah minayin, Moshe minat Torah minayin. What in the world? But that's exactly what Haman was saying. And of course, Moshe is central to this story. This is exactly where we find that this moment was the culmination of Moshe's own life. V'hayamim ha'ele niskarim v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor. Mishpacha u'mishpacha, medina u'medina, v'ir v'ir. Again, stressing the differences. Because each one of these, the Gemara Darshit, they mean different things. So that you have the different dinim of the Kforim, you have different dinim of Ayarot, you have where the Mekafas Choman, you have medina, which is open. So that it's already saying that there was a completely different way of reading it. And, Yemei HaPurim Ha'elo Lo Ya'avru Mitoch HaYudim, they will never be passed from the Jews, v'zichram, lo yasuf mizar'am. Now that, and of course the zecher goes back to the idea of Shabbos Parsha Zohar, Zohar Masha Asalacha Amalek, but it has astonishing implications in the halacha, and that is, listen to this Rambam, his mom is maddening, the Ravid goes crazy, he says, this is horrific to say something like this. Says the Rambam, the closing of Nukas Megillah, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim V'chol HaKiduvim Atidim Libatel Mimot HaMashiach. Chutz Mimigalat Aster, and listen to what he says, Harehi Kayemet Kechamisha Chumshei Torah. What? Eina Betelim Liolom. V'yaf api shekol zichron hatzarot yivatel, shenemar, ki nishkechu hatzarot harishonot, v'chi nisteru me'inai, this is in Yeshayahu, yimei ha-purim lo yivatlo. Why? This pasuk. Yimei ha-purim ha-ele lo yavru mitoch ha-yudim, zichron lo yosef mizara. What an amazing conclusion. Now, you can, if you weren't aware of the extent at which Chazal literally viewed this as such a fundamental change in paradigm that it redefines Har Sinai, you would find these words to be a little bit strange. You say, okay, it means, and the only thing you're left with is Chamisha Kum, and you don't have to say it. Obviously, you just said the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim will be bottled. So obviously, the only thing that's left is Chamisha Kum Sheitaira and Esther. You don't have to say Ke Chamisha Kum Sheitaira. What are you adding? Whereas the Rambam is trying to say that's why it's left. Because it is Kechamisha Chumshei Torah. Because it's the only book that redefines Har Sinai. It redefines the nature of the Brit. That's the point. Memela, in the same way that the Sefer HaBrit is Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that gives you the only basis that you have for your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to His Ratzon, the Kimu V'Kiblu is His Ratzon, Kiyum L'mala. And therefore, this is mamish, as close as you can get to kvira. This is what the Ravid says. My God, he says, this is divrei het yotot. How can you say such a thing? This is the extent of how astonishing the change was. Memela, it's part of the actual story of the Megillah that we have to know that that's what this is. Otherwise, it would be, okay, the Megillah is about the Nes, but it's not. The Megillah is about the rediscovery of the nature of Brit. The Nes was only a trigger. Now, there's some fascinating, again, I mean, halakhic implications to these words of the way in which they were makabalit. So, some of the implications. I mean, it's very briskerish. It's actually a brisker Rav's approach, but it's based on a fascinating halakha in the Rambam. As we know, there's two very important things that we discussed not all that long ago in the Gemara. And that is, you need that Rov HaTzibur should be able to be omed in a gezerah in order for it to be binding. And if a Beis Din makes a gezerah that is rejected by most of the Tzibur, the gezerah is batal. You never force a gezerah on the Tzibur, which of course has every connection to the idea of Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigas. There is no kafiyah of a gezerah. Because that, you can't say, is innate and therefore demands kviya. It's always in terms of what the Am is shayach. That's number one. The other thing is that it had to have been poshet b'chol Yisrael. So it's not merely a question of whether it is easy to maintain and people are finding this something that they can relate to, but it can't be something that was limited in scope. So it had to be all over or else it's not binding on everyone. Either it was accepted all over Yisrael and found to be by most people all over Yisrael to be acceptable, or it's not binding. Therefore, Yizmadayim, that because of the fact that we find in the case of Mishnah that the din of Rov Tzibur Yicholum La'amid Bay is not defined by the time at which it was propagated. That's a din in Parshat B'chol Yisrael. That's a one-time thing. In effect, the Rambam says that 12 months later, after propagation of a gezerah, they sent messengers all over to see whether it was actually accepted or not. Did it reach all corners of where Yisrael was, and did they accept it? But when it comes to the question of the Rov Tzibur Yechalim La'amid Bei, that's always, that's something that can change. That needs to be for the future as well. It's not that it was at this point determined. So would there be any time that the Tzibur is not Yechalim La'amid Bei? So then the Takana is not a proper Takana at all, and it's retroactively bought. So therefore, he said there's two types of things. It has to be Nasi Bechol Dor Vador, meaning that it was not only Mishpacha Mishpacha all over, Medina Medina all over. That's one tonight. That's only one time tonight. But the element of Bechol Dor Vador is that this is never going to change. It'll never be something that is not appreciated and accepted. Therefore, lo yavru mitoch hayudim. Because they were able to be geizer this, therefore it was possible to say these words, lo yavru mitoch hayudim, v'zichram lo yasuf bizarna. Now, v'tichtov Esther HaMalka bat Avichayim, u'mordechai Yehudi et kol tokef l'kayem et igeret HaPurim hazot hashenit. What is this all about? So one thing the Ebenezer says, look, whatever you're going to say is that it's clear from here that they refuse to accept Purim. Because why did he need Mordechai? The first letters came from Mordechai. Esther wasn't involved. Why did he need to utilize Kol Tokev, which is clearly an indication of the power of the Malchut? He wants Esther to insist, and therefore he needs to come with her. I mean, I'm not saying it was his stimulus. I mean, it's obviously it's both of them. But he needs her koyach as the Malka. So it's clear that something must be wrong. It must be that for some reason they had not accepted. So his lashon is, Zot aparsha higida, sheshamru Yisrael zot mitzvah the first year. V'achakach notshua. They stopped. Why did they stop? As the Malbim explains, for the obvious reason that it's all very nice to have a responsive thing, but you can't be koved as a new holiday. So therefore they held that for us to respond, that's fine. But how can we be makabel on ourselves that this should be a new Kisvei HaKodesh, that this should be a new holiday? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, they obviously were not sure. Al kein hustrach Mordechai shetichtov Esther bavur heyota malkam. It was essential for him to have the tokev. The meaning of tokev is always the kayach of the malchut, which is why it says, "Vayishlach svarim al kol ha'yodim al sheva v'esrim miyam medina malchut achashverosh divrei shalom ve'emet." So the simple meaning, divrei shalom, says the Eben Ezra, is first of all, people might have been frightened because they held b'shita that they shouldn't keep Purim. And she was insisting that they had to keep Purim. And that sounded very threatening. Therefore, says the Eben Ezra, the simple meaning of Divrei Shalom, Shalo yefachadu bavur shazvu mitzvat Purim. Can you imagine? Like, who would say such a pshat? You need to be very deeply in touch with what must have been going on in people's mind to say something like that. So when they got these letters, it was essential that the letters be posted in a way that they were clear, were friendly, and that we're coming to address them so that it shouldn't be once again a kafalayim. So that's the point. You need to find in this your own shlemus. And she needs to explain to you why, in fact, it's good for you. And that's why the Gemara darshan divrei shalom ve'emet halachas. What's ve'emet? Must be that it has the same halachas of ketiva of the Torah itself, which is called emet. So that you need to be melameh shetzuchas sirtut ke'amitah shel Torah. You can't write it without first making lines in the parchment in order to write it on. One of the dinim of ketiva. Wow. So each and every word over here serves to relate in some very primal fashion the actual ksav of the Megillah to the Sefer Torah, the kriya of the Megillah to the Sefer Torah, the acceptance of the Megillah to the Sefer Torah, the bris of the Megillah to the bris on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship as being defined by the Megillah on both ends, Kibul Lamala, Masha Kibul Lamata, Kibel, what it was that had originally been the Kubal, Ayyadeh Moshe Rabbeinu. You see the pattern, it's so striking, it's so powerful. And therefore, as the Malbim explains, all of this was part of the argument. It gives us an insight. What an amazing thing that we should be given insight into the change as it's taking place. The only other place where we see this in the actual Chamisha Chumshei Torah is this week's parsha, where we have the discussion between Moshe and Aaron, Dorosh Dorash, and that is such a shocking shift in which you can argue with Moshe about whether he properly understood the Torah, and that the nature of the Rosh, the Rash, and the Keach of Teresh Baal Peh is such that we are freely allowed to understand it as we must understand it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Hoda V'lo Bosh, that he made a mistake, and that he forgot the way that it was really meant to be understood. The intimacy of that discussion, it doesn't have to be there. What do we have to know that? Moshe asks him, and he shouts at him, and what it is that Aaron says back, it comes across as being, what do we need this for? That's exactly what all of this is. What do we need this for? That they had to write a second letter, and how it was that they tried to argue it out, and explains the Malbim every bit now to come is an insight into the discussion of what must have been going on behind the scenes. Because what it says over here is the Kayemet Yemei HaPurim HaEla Bizmanehem. The Gemara Darshan's from there. That means Zmano Shalzeh Lok is Zmano Shalzeh. You don't have a choice to say, well, okay, but I'd rather eat on the 15th this year. No. This is a different holiday if you live in a Paruz, and a different holiday if you live in a Kfar, and a different holiday if you live in a Mukaf. So this is your answer to the Am Mufurad and Mufuzar. I mean, isn't the whole idea over here to gather together, as Esther said, bring them all together, make them one. Leich kanosit kol ha'yudim, right? Isn't that the point? Isn't that what we always do in an Eis Tzara? We gather together. And that indeed was Yud Gimel, which is why we don't need a pasuk for Yud Gimel, because it was Zman Ki La Lakol. That's when everybody was in the same pot and needed to act in the same way. So the Bizmanehem itself is a completely new way of defining a Gezerah, that it's different for different people and different experiences and different views. Who ever heard of such a thing? Everything that we had experienced until now is everything is the same for everybody. The very idea that the time of Pur, the time of all of this randomness, not only allows individuals to find their paths in life, and that's the whole point, it's only that randomness that gives you a chance to be yourself, but that the Takona itself reflects that it not only is it not a breakdown to have Zmanayim, but that's the deeper tikkun of what it means. That what he saw as an Am Mufurad and Mufuzar, that was a destruction of Yisrael, was a broadening of the context of Yisrael that enabled it to relate to all of the different places that it was. And it can be done in different ways, which we're going to see is important at the end of the Megillah. And so, says the Malbim, look, here's what was going on. What's the pshat? L'kayem et yimei ha-purim kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai yodi v'Estra Malka. What does that mean? V'kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram divrei atzamot v'zakatam. Does that really make sense? To be mekayem the days of Purim, in their times, the way that Mordechai yodi and Esther Malka had been mekayem, I mean, what do you mean the way they had been mekayem? And the way that they were Mekayim, Divreat Somot V'Zakatam. Which Somot V'Zakatam? What are you talking about? Those original Somot that had taken place over Pesach? We were never Mekayim those Somot. Tanit Esther, that we call Tanit Esther. Where does it say anything about over here Tanit Esther? That takes place a year later. The Tzomot and the Zakatam, those were the 3 days. Well, we certainly didn't cancel Pesach permanently because of Esther. Those original 3 days was the day before Pesach and the next 2 days. So how can you be referring to the Brit Samot V'Zakatam? I mean, it's really weird. This is another one of these psukim that don't hold together. The words don't make sense. It's not like there's a simple meaning and let's look into this. There's no simple meaning. It's a strange pasuk. Therefore, suggests the Malbim, and in this, it's interesting. He has a marker, although that's for a completely different reason. The meaning of the Divrei Tzomot V'Zakatam, says the Eben Ezra, he says everybody misunderstands this, what the Divrei Tzomot V'Zakatam are. They're not at all. We actually gave a shir, one of the Esther shir, was on this Eben Ezra. I think it was the Phantom of the Opera one. It was on this Eben Ezra. But he explains that the meaning of Divrei Tzomot V'Zakatam, so he says, Aldat Rabim, this is, most people think this is a reference to Tanit Esther. There are those that are smart aleks, the makrishim, that they satina that it's a reference back to the 3 days. And that ko Yisrael ruyim li tanot kein tamid, which is, Now I'll tell you what I think the pshat really is. I think what it really means that is that the chachamim were koveya, yimei tanit, right? What were those yimei tanit? Shivasa v'tamuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Maser B'Tevet, all of those days are kvuim as divrei Tanit v'Tzomot. So I think atam ki kimu ha-yehudim al nafsham lismoach b'mei ha-purim kasher kimu al nafsham azram litanot b'mei evlam. Beautiful. Since we've seen all along that the whole idea of here is kishem shemisha nitlasar b'ma'atim b'simcha. So the whole idea over here is that this is really the moment we're addressing the fall of the Beit HaMikdash and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, which was the middle of this entire issue, which is Lo Davar Chotzeh Amalchut, Ad Chatzi Amalchut, the Mordechai and Haman as being on the opposing sides of yes to rebuild or not to rebuild. And that was the subtext of the Megillah. So Mamela, it's coming here, says the Ibn Ezra, to contrast the same way that we were makabal al nafshenu, the tzomot and the zakot, so too they were makabal here yemei ha-purim ha'ela, in order for it to be the mishkal for the binyan of what that was for the churban. Beautiful, says the Malbim, but there's something much more profound going on over here. It's part of the argument, part of the argument of how they were allowed to do this. That was the issue. So therefore, he says, look, Neged Mashit Lonanu al Yemei HaPurim, the complaints against Purim in Klal Yisrael were that she'ev shalo sif mo'ed v'likbo alachok olam Yisrael, because you're going to be over on Bal Tosif. She, Esther, wrote to them these words, L'kayim kasher kimu al nafsham divrei tzomot v'zakatan. Am I telling you to be koveah mikayach a gezera, that it's meant to be the equivalent of a mitzvah? You are already makabel on yourselves, the taniyot. How did you do that? You want to call it neder? It's begetter and neder. We were mekayim on ourselves, kasher kiyamale and Mordechai divestra malka. Individually, did we make a gezera on ourselves? No. We were mekabel on ourselves. I'm telling you only to be mekayim Purim like that. I'm not telling you to make it now from the kayach ha-bezdin that is binding forever. You're saying we don't have that kayach. You're right. But there is a kayach of a tzibur's neder and acceptance of things. And that's all I'm asking. And therefore there's no problem over here of any bal tosif. L'chein amra shelo yikablem mitzad din Torah, rak asher kiyam aleihem Mordechai v'Esther mitzad ha-neder, lo zulat. So that the entire tzibur should be makayim on themselves, something personal. Which, because everyone participates in the personal level, kasher kiyam Mordechai v'Esther, was just us. We're just people, like everybody else. Everybody has to face Purim in that same fashion. And therefore, the differences and the places and so on is part of the personal experience. It's amazing. It's such a beautiful insight. So not only do we get an insight into what was going on behind the scenes in terms of how is this kosher and how is it mutter, but we also have a completely different flavor for what Purim means. It's in its essence a personal experience. Its original Kabbalah was a personal experience. Which then, okay, how to deal with that personal experience? That's a Chachamim can be Gezer. If you're Mekayim on yourself, so then this is the way that it needs to be kept. And so then we have all of the dinim of Purim. So before we get to our closing pasuk, let's just mention some of the other Mefarshim on the psukim that we've learned here. The Divrei Shalom ve'emet, according to the Gra, is a beautiful remez also to ve'emet. His lashon is emet, always refers to Torah. Emet k'nei v'altim koraz, which Gemara darshens is Torah. And his lashon is, you see the level of his awareness of what's going on here, shekiblu et haTorah bi'ahava rabah, b'li moda'a v'ones klal. So there was no moda'a rabah b'yoraita, and there was no rape, there was no ones, there was no sense of being coerced into this whole thing. That's the Gra's lashon. And that's why the Gemara, he says that the Gemara's diyuk that we spoke about yesterday, that it, therefore we learned from here that it requires sirtut ka'amitash or Torah, is only based on the Gemara's recognition of this, what the level of emet means, divrei shalom emet. Since it's already, this we saw from so many things yesterday, how much it's continued, a continuation of Kabbalat Torah itself, that indeed it can refer directly to the way that the Sefer Torah is supposed to be written. That's the only basis for it. And if we take a look in the Zohar actually says that when the Gemara says the Kibel, remember we were talking about Kibel, yes, the Kibel Ayudim, that it's written in the Kibel, and that that was a reference to the way the Grower's understanding it, that the Kimu Mashe Kibel, meaning Mashe Kibel Moshe. So the Zohar actually says, Kibel Ayudim, Kiblu Ayudim Yiboyle Maive Kibel, what it is referring to is Moshe, who is called Hayehudim because he's the klal of Yehudoi. And he was Mekabel Oraita, including Megillat Esther. And that was the remez to the Kibel Hayehudim. So that the Megillat Esther itself was part of what it was that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, which ties into what the Rambam is saying, that it has the same concept of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah itself. Also, as far as what was the Kol Tokef that was written? It's called Tokef L'Kayem Et Igeret HaPurim Hazot. So Kol Tokef has many different pirush. Because we find in the Gemara that there's a machloket about what the chiyuv of Kriyat HaMegillah is. What, how much of it are you supposed to learn? So some say you have to read the entire Megillah. Others say you read from Ish Yehudi. Others say Achar HaDevarim HaElen. And others say from the word Balai Lahu. So in the Gemara, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan says that all of the various shitot are different understanding in the nature of Kol Tokef. So if you learn that, and this is all from Vatichtov Esther Malko Mordechai Yehudi at Kol Tokef, so Man Diomar Kula, if you learn that you need the entire Megillah, it means Kol Tokef, all of the Tokef of Achashverosh. So that there's different Ramaz. Remember, that's the Mara U'al Kacha, Omai Gyalayim, each one learns differently. So Mara U'al Kacha, if it's referring to Achashverosh, it was what he did at the Suda, what happened to him, and so on. Each one learns that pasuk differently in terms of how you understand the Kol Tokef. So one way of looking at the Megillah is that it's a story of Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh through the closing 10th parak, Vayosem HaMelech Achashverosh Ma'asal Oretz V'Yayam. So it really is about Achashverosh, we pointed out. The other Man Yomer says from Ish Yehudi, says that it's a reference to Tokef of Mordechai. And of course, the Megillah ends with that also. The whole Maase Tokefo, and it uses the word Tokef, Ugvurato, Parashat Gedulat Mordechai Asher Gidlo HaMelech. So that too, that began from Mordechai HaYehudi, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira, and ends here with Gedulat Mordechai. The Man Yomer learns from that you're supposed to begin with Achar HaDevarim HaEla Gidel HaMelech HaChashverosh Et Haman. So he understands that the central meaning of the Kitvut called Tokef was the Tokef of Haman, surprisingly. And the Man Yomer B'Balai Lahahu learns that the focus of Tokef is on the Nes itself. Therefore, when we learn, points out Rav Huna, it's all a question as well of how to understand Mara U'al Kacho Magi Aleyem. If you learn that it's Kula, so then it's, why did Achashverosh take out the Kelim of Beit HaMikdash? Al Kacha, because of his mistake of the Shivim Shana. U'Magi Aleyem, the story with Vashti, the replacement of Esther, and in the end, Esther now ruling it and bringing the Beit HaMikdash. Man Yomer B'Ish Yehudi, Mara Amordechai, that he so stimulated Haman to go up against him. Al Kacha, the Avodazara element, Maigi Aliyem, the Nes that took place. The one who says Achar HaDvarim HaEla understands what did Haman see to be Mekanei B'Kol HaYudim. Al Kacha, Mordechai did. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachavet. Maigi Aliyem, v'talu otovet banav alayit. Man diyomra bibalai lahu, mara Achashverosh. Why did he bring the Sefer HaZichronot? Al Kacha, because of Esther's hazmanah to Haman. Maigi, the Nes that came. And, points out the Gemara, the halacha is you have to read the entire Megillah. And even all of those who learn that it's from point A, B, or C, after the beginning, either from Mordechai or from Haman, or from Tokef or Shel Nes, agree that the Megillah itself must be completely written. It's only a question of what the Kriya is. So that means that there are two elements. There is the element of the Tokef of the story, and there is the element of the entirety of the story. And indeed, the Gemara points out, Agabe other dinim, as far as the actual halacha is concerned, of the Ketiva, that there's two words for this document. One is called Igeret, Igeret HaPurim HaShanim, and the other is Basefer. Sefer is the name of Megillah. It's Megillat Sefer, which of course is Merames to David HaMelech himself. The Megillat Sefer Tuvalai. So those dinim, Igeret have one halacha, Sefer has another halacha, in terms of dinim of Tvira. Normally you have to be Tefer B'Gidim. Over here it could be Tefer B'Pishtim. There's all kinds of differences. And of course, the way that we read it is that we take the Megillah apart and put it into an Igeret form, so that it should be both a Megillah and an Igeret. It means that we're exposing certain things in the Kriya. Of course, we do both, but we're exposing certain elements in the Kriya, and that's the sense of the Tokef, and we're doing other things with having this in a Sefer. And there's obviously, we spoke about earlier, the different subtexts that are here, and how those subtexts become intertwined in the nature of the Tokef Hanes, that is to say, the feeling of the randomness, the way that everything is coming together, how these various subplots that don't seem to have anything to do with each other on the surface end up not only having to do with each other, but in the overall perspective of history, they take threads that are being drawn over centuries and wrapping them together and pulling them into a coherent statement about the nature of busha, tzniut, Kabbalat HaTorah, the meaning of clothing, the relationship of the sexes, the concept of rape, the way in which a person views life. That's an astonishing accomplishment in these 10 short prakim of what it begins with what appears to be a silly farce. So it's really a very, very amazing story, and the Gemara actually splits it, halacha, in different shittot, in what it is that exactly that you're supposed to be reading. And so we close the parak with Umamar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'ela. What does that mean? Mamar Esther Kiyam? Mamar Esther, they were Mikayem Kimu? And they kept the Divrei HaPurim? So no, what it means is, in fact, says the Gemara, as we mentioned, they didn't want to do what Esther said. Therefore, when it says, Umamar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'ela, it means that if not for how it is that Esther persuasively argued for the rights to be Mechadesh Purim and for the need for it to be Nichtav Basefer, two different things, the Divrei HaPurim Ha'ela, the Halachos of Purim, and the fact that the Megillah should be written in the Sefer, if it wasn't for Esther's argument, her Mamar, not her Tzivui, then it never would have happened. Now this puts Esther in entire, this closing, this is the closing words about Esther. This closing makes Esther so much more powerful than we understood before, in which we saw her as almost being a political figure and using her own special kochot and her emuna and her tzniut and her amazing personality and beauty, using it for the kach of Yisroel. But the way that she cogently argues, as the Gemara says, she cogently argues the entire issue with the Chachamim, and the Chacham, both in the Bavli and Yerushalmim. Yerushalmim says that the Chachamim said to her that Ein Navir Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Miata. That was the whole story that happened immediately after Kabbalat HaTorah with the death of Moshe. They came to Yoshua, and they wanted Yoshua to give them information that was revelation. So that, and the response was, This is the only thing that we have. It's the Zot HaTorah. We can't change that, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Until Ache Yira Kadosh Baruch Hu Einehem, the way the Yerushalmi puts it, Umatzu Kituvah BaTorah Neviim Kituvim, they found Remozim and recognized that she was right. Now, as the Marsha points out, the Bavli hasn't even mentioned this, the Einavi Rishay L'Chadish Davar, because her taina initially was, and they held that answered the problem. Her taina originally was that it's a Kal V'Chomer. If the Torah is Machayev us from going out mi avdut l'cherut to say Shira, and it records the Shira, then this is my song. And it's more than a Yitziah of avdut l'cherut, it's a Yitziah from Mita l'chaim, and therefore for sure there should be Shira. And this, as the Gemara says, Hallel we don't say, but this is the equivalent of a Hallel, it's a Shira. The reason that we don't say is remarkably because we never went out of Avdut in Esther. And as the Gemara puts it, this is one of the, remember we spoke about the many different ways of viewing the Pticha for Megillat Esther. Patach la-pitcha la-hi-parshat ha-mi-adha. We darshened a few of them, the Be'atzatai Mimach ha-mekareh b'shivut yadayim idof ha-bayit, which is so central. But one of the beautiful Ptichot of the Megillah analyzes the pasuk that we just had in Ezra. And it's such an appropriate, such a beautiful pasuk that is so nogea pasir. So that pasuk, if you recall, back from Ezra, was ki avadim anachnu ube'avdutenu lo azavanu Eloheinu. And what is that referring to? Bizman Haman. So the idea of viewing this entire period as the paradigm of Galut, and the way the Gemara puts it is, why can't we say Hallel? Because when we went out of Mitzrayim, we were able to say Hallelujah Abdei Hashem. So that's the Hallelujah Abdei Hashem. Why Hallelujah Abdei Hashem? Because we're no longer Avadim Lepa. Paro. But here, Adayin Avdei Achashverosh are not. It's not as if we've left Paras behind. It's that we developed a completely different level of relationship with Paras. So that's the Vayet Aleinu Chesed of Nei Malchei Paras. That Vayet Aleinu Chesed brings us all into the position, basically, of Yosef HaTzadik, which is exactly what the next parak, the closing parak, is about. It's about that change in the way in which we relate to the Umot during the period of Galut, which was what it was that Mordechai went for in the first place, recognizing the meaning of Bavel in terms of the development of language and the change that was going to come. That's all part of the Me'as, or the Shavav Esrim Me'am Medinat, which goes all the way back to Sarah Imenu, as we spoke about earlier. We'll get to that shortly in the Nekarek. But what's special about it is that it means that we've come to recognize not simply a new paradigm of how it is that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hester, but how it is that Hester, even in terms of Galut, has its own special reward. And because of that, the Gemara continues to say that Zachar Chasdo v'emunato, this is Rabbi Yochanan's p'tich, lebeit Yisrael, ro'u kol afsei aretz et Yeshuat Eloheinu. When was there kol afsei aretz? That was only b'mei Mordechai v'Hester. And even more than that is the closure in which this particular nes is viewed as the greatest of all of them. In that sense, the Gemara views on one level this Megillah and this Geula to be a greater Geula even than the Yitzhias Mitzrayim itself, even though it wasn't a Geula, which is really weird. This is Merumez in the beautiful Petichav Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, where he is patach lapitcha l'hai pashat mehacha. Yirkavta enosh l'rashenu banu ba'esh v'mayu. You have put men to rule over us. We've come through fire and water. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. So where is this? Ba'esh b'mei Nebuchadnezzar harasha, where he actually used esh to, that's the kivshan esh. And then we have the mayim. Obviously that's b'mei paro, where we brought us across the yam. Latotzienu l'ravayah. Who brought us out to the broadest kind of freedom. And that is Bimei Haman. So something absolutely unique about this vision of Geula, never before attained. And that is the clue to understanding the Perek to come, which we need to get to. But here, as the Gemara records the conversation, is that Esther went to the Chachamim, and she said to them, Tavuni Lidorot, I want you to be koveya this as something that would be nogea always. Shochula, and they sent her back. Look, it says in the Pasuk, Alo katavti lach shilishi. Shilishi means that the Hatzola from Amalek is only three times. And this would be the fourth time, because we have the Ktav Zot Zikaron Basefer, that was the original Mekhi of Amalek. And it's meant to be a Zikaron Basefer. And then it's repeated once again in Devarim, in which we talk about Zechor Masha Salach Amalek, that's the second time. And then we have the whole story of Shaul, which is the third time. So we already have three times. How can we add something additional? Ad Shematzulo Mikra Katuv Batorah, until they recognize that the meaning of the Ktov Zot Zikaron Basefer is inclusive of the Sefer, the single Sefer, which is the Sefer Torah, which must mean that the story of Yoshua and the Tzivui of Zechira that we find in Kitei Tzei, those are both one thing. And then Ktov Zot Zikaron Basefer, the Zikaron, the Ktov Zot is in the Sefer. The Zikaron is what's written in the Nevi'im about Shaul. And then there must be a new Sefer. That was the Sefer that it was that Esther was writing, of the Kitvuni L'Rot. And that's the V'nichtav Ba'Sefer, particularly. So this Sefer was a remez to the Sefer that was actually found in the argument of Esther that made it happen. And so because of that, it's specifically Ma'amar, Esther Kiyam Divrei Purim Ela, was the words of Esther that made Purim happen. So not only is Esther capable of bossing Mordechai around, but she ends up being the person who was kovat the entire din connected all of the Sanhedrin, where Mordechai was unable to muster the arguments or was not in the position to muster the arguments to achieve that. And therefore it becomes the achievement of Esther not only vis-a-vis what happened with Ahasuerus and the destruction of Haman, but actually what ended up becoming not only her own achievement, but the way that that achievement would be taken by Klal Yisrael as the paradigm of what had happened in Galut. So that is not a small issue. As we've seen, part of the Megillah itself is the gilui of the issues that the Megillah was coming to address, not simply the story of the Nes itself.